Free to Be Healthy, my new talk show on Saturdays at noon. Please make an appointment to join me so we can discuss ways to restore your health all for free. Did you know you're free to be healthy if you choose to be? That's Free to Be Healthy Saturdays at noon right here on 1480 KPHX.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. For the sixth month in a row, there were big job losses in June, and the AP's James Limbach reports new government figures indicate two earlier months were also down.
As it released the June figures, the Labor Department said payrolls dropped by 67,000 in April versus the 28,000 previously reported. Losses in May came to 62,000, not the 49,000 initially estimated. The economy has lost an average of 73,000 jobs a month so far this year.
Despite those losses, the unemployment rate held steady at 5.5%. Oil prices are hovering near $144 a barrel again today. Energy analyst Damian Cox says the latest jump in prices spells bad news for consumers.
Ultimately, it's going to translate into higher fuel prices for them in Western Europe and in the UK and in the States. So it'll find its way through to work its way through ultimately to the pump.
There is a pre-holiday jump on Wall Street. The Dow's now up by about 95 points. Kidnapping charges have been filed against a Vermont man after the body of his 12-year-old niece was found buried near his home. U.S. Attorney Thomas Anderson today extended his condolences to Brooke Bennett's family.
Today is a tragic day for Vermont. Our thoughts and our prayers are with the Bennett family and the people of Randolph, Vermont.
The federal charges against Michael Jakes means he faces a possible death sentence. More people have been ordered out of the area around Big Sur, California, because of wildfires in the region. A total of 31 miles of coastal Highway 1 is now closed. There have already been 16 homes burned, and the fires are not expected to be fully surrounded until the end of the month. Three Americans have returned to the United States after being rescued from leftist guerrillas in Colombia. They were flown to an army hospital in San Antonio. Men were held captive for more than 5 years after their plane went down in the rebel-held jungle. This is AP Radio News. Now, just in time for the 4th of July, 50 people took their oath of citizenship today in Washington.
Congratulations. You're now citizens of the United States.
And the newest Americans heard a special message from President Bush.
The United States of America welcomes new citizens, along with the many gifts you bring and the values you live by. Hard work, entrepreneurship, love for family, and love for country.
That ceremony was held at the museum. A new tropical storm is churning in the Atlantic. Tropical Storm Bertha has formed off the coast of Africa. The second named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season is moving at about 14 miles an hour. It's still too early to say if or where Bertha will hit land. A-Rod's available. The Yankee slugger and his wife have split less than 3 months after the birth of the couple's second daughter. The New York Daily News reports the story on the newspaper's website and says the couple has been separated for about 3 months. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Brought to you by Casino Arizona. Get a little help from your friends. Beatlemania Live is back at Casino Arizona Showroom, July 30th through August 3rd. Get your tickets today at Casino Arizona's box office or at Ticketmaster.
1480 KPHX. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Truth to power never sounded so good. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes. Anyone that's listened to my show knows my family is no stranger to breast disease. I even had a scare myself. Remember after my last breast exam, the doctor said I needed more tests and no one on staff could tell me anything else, and they sent me on my way until my next appointment? I walked outside and my head was spinning and I didn't know what I should do now. Well, I finally made it to the next appointment over a week later and found out everything was fine, but that week was terrifying. I wish I knew then about Dr. Barclay White at Arizona BreastNet. Dr. Barclay White and her entirely female staff specialize only in breast health. Arizona BreastNet is one of the few practices nationwide that uses digital mammography. The image detail is unsurpassed, and women appreciate that it's not as uncomfortable as a traditional mammogram. But the best part is, if you need follow-up, you have those tests done that day with immediate results, too. My next exam will be at Arizona BreastNet, so make yours at Arizona BreastNet today. Call 480 480- 480-314-7600, 480-314-7600, or azbreastnet.com.
Hey Phoenix, Tom Hartman here. Have you visited the Art of Framing yet? They're owned by a local artist who cares as much for your art as they do for the environment. With every framing purchase, the Art of Framing contributes to the Conservation Fund to offset your carbon footprint. Frame your favorite photos, art, or keepsakes while keeping focus on the big picture. Stop into the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback. That's the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback.
Hi, this is Dr. Mark Espinoza with Central Dental Care, home of the Pain-Free Smile Makeover. If you're looking for a painless dentist, call me at 602-943-7297. But if you'd like a painless way to grow your business, I have to tell you how impressed I've been with the return on my marketing investment since advertising on 1480 KPHX. Traffic to my dental practice has only increased since advertising on 1480 KPHX.
This is Mari Connor with 1480 KPHX. To learn more, click on the advertising link at 1480kphx.com.
History sounds like this.
Tonight I can stand here and say that I will be the Democratic nominee for the president.
Part Kenya, part Kansas. Barack Obama is the newest face of the American dream. But can he become the 44th president of the United States?
Yes, we can. Yes, we
can. Future is here, and the official radio station of the future is 1480 KPHX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Your home for truth in broadcasting.
Now, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, an awful lot going on here. It's in particular with regard to the politics of it all. And greetings and welcome to the show. Particularly with regard to the politics of oil, Newt Gingrich is orchestrating this huge campaign behind the scenes. He's discovered that the majority of Americans think if we drill more, that that'll lower the price of oil. They're ignoring the fact that the majority of oil leases that have been given to the oil companies in the United States and federal lands are being sat on rather than used. I'm not talking about offshore oil. So we'll get into that a little bit later on as the program goes on. Don Siegelman's going to drop by in our third hour, the former governor of the state of Alabama, political prisoner of Rick Carl Rove. And we'll get an update on what's going on with him. Mike Gravel is going to drop by. Rick Perlstein in our second hour talking about how, in his new book, Nixon Land, that Nixon was the grandfather of today's politics of hate. Anthony Romero from the ACLU is going to drop by at the end of this hour just to give us an update on what's going on with the ACLU. Right now, Stephen Halbrook is with us. He's a fellow at the Independent Institute. He received his J.D., his Doctor of Law from Georgetown University Law Center, and Ph.D. from Florida State. He's won three cases before the Supreme Court, written several books on the right to bear arms. His website, independent.org. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Glad to be on the show, Tom.
The Supreme Court just this landmark ruling on Guantanamo. It's one of what are expected to be two really blockbuster cases that the court is going to be ruling on, the other being this arguably Second Amendment case about whether or not Washington, D.C.'s virtually total ban on handguns is constitutional. Is that a statement that you'd agree with?
Yes, it is. The Supreme Court hasn't looked at the Second Amendment since a 1939 case, and before that, virtually never. So this is breaking new ground. This will be the first time, presumably, that the court will definitively address the meaning of the right of the people to keep and bear arms.
Right. That 39 case, wasn't that like the Miller case or something?
Yes, it was. Was a very narrow decision that both sides to the controversy cite on their way. So.
Right. And that was the case that essentially said that the government can regulate weapons and use that right, or that power, rather, to regulate things like sawed-off shotguns and machine guns.
Right. The court held that the test for whether a weapon was constitutionally protected was whether it was militia-type weapon or ordinary military ordnance. But I think the court now is going to back away from that theory. The court seemed that oral argument to be moving toward if it's an individual right, that it would have a self-defense component. But I think that they're going to back away from a military-type weapon analysis.
Now, if the framers of the Constitution and the authors of the Bill of Rights actually intended for there to be a right to own a weapon for self-defense, why didn't they write that into the Second Amendment? Why does it say in order to maintain a well-regulated militia?
Well, first of all, the text states that refers to the right of the people to keep and bear arms. They did not put in...
Following the militia statement.
Right. Let me
as part of one single sentence.
Right. They gave a reason for that right being federally recognized. They did not say duck hunting being lots of fun, the people have a right, etc. They wanted to encourage a well-regulated militia, and they felt that by having that right recognized on the part of the people at large, it would facilitate the creation and maintenance of a well-regulated militia. If people couldn't own guns and didn't know how to shoot straight, you could not have a militia, because that's what a militia meant, a society where a military component consisted of ordinary people at large who were part-time soldiers and not a standing army.
You know, we're talking with Stephen Halbrook. He's also the author of The Founder's Second Amendment, Origins of the Right to Bear Arms. And, Stephen, I have your book here, and I've spent a fair amount of time with it. And I would suggest to you that while you give, you tip your hat, as it were, you know, you give passing reference to the concern of many of the founders, arguably most of the founders, that we should not have a standing army. I mean, this is one of the big debates. And, in fact, Jefferson points out that at one point a total ban on standing armies in the United States ever during times of peace was defeated by only one vote in the House of Representatives. You quote, for example, Eldridge Gerry, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and, you know, a true patriot. And you say in your book, Eldridge Gerry clarified that the purpose of the amendment was protection from oppressive government. And then you quote him, and he wasn't saying that. He says, this Declaration of Rights, I take it, is intended to secure the people against the maladministration of the government. He says, what, sir, is the use of a militia? It is to prevent the establishment of a standing army, the bane of liberty. In other words, the maladministration of government that Gerry was talking about, that Jefferson was talking about, I can give you 20 different quotes from Jefferson on this, and I'm sure you know them as well as I do, was that these guys all felt that if we had a standing army in the United States during times of peace, it could do what Musharraf did in Pakistan, and that is overthrow or become at least such a large and powerful instrument that it distorts, badly distorts, the civilian government, which, frankly, I would submit to you we are seeing right now with a $500 billion Pentagon budget.
Well, of course, an oppressive government would be equivalent to one maintained by a standing army, and there were those who proposed in the first Federal Congress that it would require two-thirds vote of Congress to even have a standing army.
Right. Yeah, this was the big issue.
Far afield from where we were at that point, you had most of the framers of the Constitution being opposed to standing armies. You had the capacity created for one, but they wanted to rely on a militia more than a standing army. Because
it was locally controlled.
With Britain. I agree totally with that. And
so why is it that people who are Second Amendment, hardcore Second Amendment supporters, let's say, I'm not going to use inflammatory rhetoric like fanatics or something like that, but why is it that the folks who believe that the Second Amendment is all about guns don't talk about that? I mean, this was the genesis of the Second Amendment. The first, second, third, fourth drafts of this originally, I mean, it originally arguably started with Jefferson's letter to Madison when Madison sent him the Constitution, and Jefferson was in Paris, and he sent back a letter saying, you know, this is all well and good, but it doesn't, you know, in fact, here, let me give you the exact quote. He said, this is his letter to Madison. He says, with respect to the new government, 9 or 10 states will probably have accepted it by the end of this month. The others may oppose it. Virginia, I think, will be of this number. In other words, he's going to lobby his own state to screw up the Constitution. Why? He says, because other objections of less moment, Virginia will insist on annexing a Bill of Rights to the new Constitution, wherein the government shall declare that, 1, religion shall be free, 2, printing presses shall be free, 3, trials by jury preserved in all cases, which is what the Supreme Court just ruled on last week, by the way, 4, no monopolies in commerce. What? Number 5, no standing army. Upon receiving this Bill of Rights, she, Virginia, will probably depart from her other objections. That, you know, why are you guys not out there saying we need to disband the standing armies and go back to militias? Because that's really what the Second Amendment's all about. It's not about whether, you know, some drug lord in Washington, D.C. should have the right to carry a Mac-10.
Right. well stated. And this country has gone very far afield from that original conception that we would have either no or minimal standing army. But that doesn't preclude the fact that the amendment refers to the right of the people to keep and bear arms. The two clauses are not inconsistent. By having an armed populace recognizing the right of the people to keep and bear arms, that promotes the possibility of having a well-regulated militia. But as the anti-federalists pointed out, the militia clause of the Second Amendment was somewhat of an empty phrase-mongering because...
Not at the time of its passage.
There was already... the militia power was recognized in the text of the Constitution already, the division between the state and federal governments as regards organization and arming of the militia. But the anti-federalist people like Patrick Henry wanted a lot more than just a declaration that a militia was necessary for the security of a free state. They wanted a prohibition on standing armies, and they didn't get it.
Right, and maybe we should have one now. Standing, and let's qualify that, standing armies during time of peace. What they wanted was every single able-bodied male between the ages of 17 and 46, was Jefferson's original proposal, to be essentially drafted, to have to learn the you know, what it means to be, to how to operate a weapon and military whatever decorum, and then if we were invaded or there was a time of necessity, military necessity, the church bells would ring all across the country and people would grab their gun out of their closet and step outside their house and boom, you'd have the militia. But the local militia, it's basically what we have right now with the National Guard. I mean, that's the remnant of our militia.
Except that's what's left of it, but the National Guard, when in federal service, is really part of the standing army. They can be sent overseas and treated just like an army. But
I know it's a malformation of what the founders intended.
Right, exactly. And the way you described it is exactly what the colonists did at Lexington and Concord. They had their own arms that they possessed privately. They were good shots.
Stephen, can you stick around? I want to continue this conversation with you for just a minute here, if it's all right. Great. We're talking with Stephen Halbrook, his website, independent.org, an advocate of Second Amendment gun rights, as I guess they would be described. And we have this big Supreme Court decision coming up. Stick around, 16 minutes past the hour.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
The Valley's Progressive Talk. Streaming live at 1480kphx.com.
My home is 70 years old, and so are some of its problems. I was looking for a handyman to seal a leaky sink when I called Brad Schrader. Brad answered the phone himself and set up an appointment for the following day. He was on time and neatly dressed, and I quickly knew how much he enjoyed his job because he wouldn't shut up about it. First, he details all the problems. Then he gives the reasons why the problems need to be fixed. He tells you how much every little thing costs and why it costs that much. He is constantly explaining himself and often explains the explanations. But you know what? He is the perfect gentleman. Brad is nice and just wants to make sure you feel good about the work he's doing. I would recommend Brad without a thought. But next time, I think I'll let him do the work when I'm not home.
Find thousands of unbiased reports and reviews from members in your area on Angie's List. From handymen to electricians, educate your guests at AngiesList.com.
Hey, KPHX listeners, my name is Cecilia, wealth advisor with Free Point Wealth Management, and I am not your typical financial planner. We offer a variety of services to include residential loans, commercial loans, wealth accumulation, and retirement spending plans. We offer risk-free investments with market-like returns, and we get your money working for you. Call me at 602-505-2464. It's easy to remember, 602-505-2464. And advertising is not so much about the medium you choose, but the people you reach. That's why I advertise with KPHX. I have found KPHX listeners to be good quality people that I have enjoyed working with and getting to know. And as a result, my business has more than doubled. So if you're serious about growing your business and getting to know a great group of people, then you have to advertise on KPHX Radio. So give them a call.
To turn the volume up on your business, visit the advertising section at 1480kphx.com.
Hi, I'm Zach White, co-founder of 76 Mortgage, and I'd like to talk to you about the current real estate market in Phoenix. Right now is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to purchase a home in Arizona. Foreclosures, short sales, and bank-owned properties have reached an all-time high. So what does this market mean for you? Simply put, banks are not in the business of owning vacant single-family homes. It is in their best interest to sell these homes as quickly as possible to avoid further losses. This has created a small window of opportunity to buy a home well below market value. We at 76 Mortgage are still offering rates in the 5s and the 6s, and we are still offering no money out-of-pocket financing to qualified borrowers. To further help our clients take advantage of this amazing opportunity, we've joined forces with real estate agents who specialize in this type of market. For more information, call 76 Mortgage at 602-265-LOAN, that's 602-265-5626, or log on to 76mortgage.com.
MB number 0907413.
Do you still owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? Still? Okay, one more time. This is Rich Boggs again, founder and CEO of Nationwide Tax Relief. I run one of the largest tax relief firms in the country. If you are still suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. We just saved a business owner in Kentucky $2.9 million in penalties, a landmark settlement, and we just helped a single mom in New York. IRS was levying her bank account and her wages, and we lifted both levies in 72 hours. Yeah, happy client. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, call Nationwide. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 800-227-1992. That's 800-227-1992. Call 800-227-1992.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
I think we need a gunslinger, somebody tough to tame this town. Think we need a gunslinger, there'll be justice all around. I think we need a gunslinger, somebody tough to tame this town.
Oh, is that what we need? Every one of us to become gunslingers. We're talking with Stephen Halbrook, his website independent.org, a fellow at the Independent Institute, an attorney. He's won 3 cases before the Supreme Court, written several books on the right to bear arms. And Stephen, let me just for our listeners, just lay out my perspective on this, and then you can lay out yours and we can discuss it.
Okay.
I think that at the federal level, it's entirely appropriate that there be limits on weapons that can be used essentially as weapons of mass destruction, that is, things that can kill more than one person at a time. Machine guns, surface-to-air missiles, mortars, the weapons of war, basically. I think that that's an entirely appropriate thing. Yet those are arms. And the founders, but you know, as you point out in one of your essays, the founders, when they talked about, if you go back to Webster's Dictionary, arms meant things that you could stash under your jacket, presumably. But I don't think that they meant that, because they meant rifles. But in any case, I think that it's entirely appropriate the federal government to do that. And B, I think that with regard to handguns, that the regulation of that should be left to the states and the cities. It should not be limited by the federal government. So New York City and Washington, D.C. should have the right to say, we want to be a handgun-free zone. But on the other hand, in Vermont, where I lived for 10 years, it is legal without a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Right.
And that should be Vermont's choice. That's my take on this issue. Your take.
American citizens have freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, and these rights apply not only to the federal government but to states and localities, so that it would not be allowed that New York City could have unreasonable searches and seizures, but you don't have them in Vermont. And by the same token, if the people have a right to keep and bear arms, that right should not be infringed by localities any more than it should be infringed by the federal government. Now, the case in the Supreme Court...
But if I may interrupt you, just the case, the right of against unreasonable search and seizure is explicit and unqualified. The right to bear arms is qualified by the statement that in order to maintain a well-regulated militia. It's a contextual assertion of rights rather than an absolute assertion of rights, unlike the Fourth Amendment.
The Fourth Amendment refers to unreasonable searches and seizures, not
right.
Search and seizures. And the Second Amendment refers to the right of the people not being infringed And it does not specify that they can only keep arms if the government conscripts them in a militia to keep arms.
But even at the time of the founding of our country, the ownership of large military weapons was controlled.
That they did conscript people into militia, but by the same token, the Constitution refers to the right of the people to assemble, to keep and bear arms. And so we're talking about something you don't need to be conscripted by government to do.
But again, the right of assembly is not a qualified right. The right to bear arms is a qualified right.
Well, all the rights are qualified to some extent. You can't assemble
on
somebody else's property. You couldn't assemble inside the Supreme Court and have a demonstration there.
Well, they're qualified at law, but they're not qualified in the amendments themselves. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the
language of the amendment.
The First Amendment, we talk about rights not being impaired, and the Second Amendment, rights not being infringed. These are synonyms for, like, they can only go so far and no further. And so nobody's questioning, by the way, federal regulations on heavy weapons and whatnot. What's at stake?
Well, why not? I mean, if
D.C. is a ban on possession of the type of firearm that's mostly used by law-abiding people for self-defense, handguns.
Right. And so why is it that the police department of Washington, D.C. wants this ban kept in place and you want it overturned?
Well,
why are you not siding with the police?
Different police chiefs at different times have made diverse statements. There was a former police chief who basically admitted that the law had done no good and he didn't know why law-abiding citizens couldn't exercise the same rights as people in every other state in the country.
Mm-hmm.
D.C. has been the murder capital of the country for many years since this law was passed, and you go across the river to Maryland or Virginia, and you have low crime rates, and you still have the ability of citizens to possess handguns. And
right, and people can buy them and then carry them into Washington, D.C. I mean, I think you could make an argument that D.C. is suffering more from a poverty problem than a gun problem.
I totally agree. What's lost sight of in this debate are all the different causes of crime. Lack of education and economic
lack of problems. Good jobs,
jobs and just a culture of criminality, the drug problems and all that.
Right.
It's oversimplification.
Stephen, we have just a minute left. I'm sorry to be moving this along, but
okay.
I'd like to get, if the Supreme Court rules that the Washington D.C. law is constitutional and they uphold it, this is going to give a huge baseball bat to the Republicans to turn gun rights into an issue for this election. Do you agree?
I agree with that. I think that most Americans think they have a right to keep and bear arms, and if the Supreme Court tells them they don't, they're going to be upset. And so when they see that they have rights protected by the Bill of Rights, these rights should be interpreted.
On the other hand, in a lot of big cities, a lot of Americans are very supportive of the restriction of weapons in their cities.
Well, there's a lot of restrictions that aren't at issue here, things like licensing and background checks and all of that. Nobody's questioning those kinds of regulations. All that's being questioned is a total ban on possession of an ordinary firearm by law-abiding people.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a very interesting decision, and the response to it is going to be fascinating. Stephen Halbrook, independent.org is website, the author of numerous books, including The Founder's Second Amendment, Origins of the Right of the Right to Bear Arms. Stephen, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be on the show.
Good conversation. 27 minutes past the hour, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, tomhartman.com for our live chat room, airamerica.com. You can check out our video stream even.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Stephanie Miller at 6 a.m., Tom Hartman at 9, weekday mornings on 1480 KPHX.
Tom Hartman here. Hey, guys, do you know the symptoms of an enlarged prostate? Like it or not, you probably will, because eventually it's going to happen to most of us as we get older. If you're urinating more frequently, especially if you're waking up two, maybe three times a night to go to the bathroom, that's the first sign. Second sign might be burning, pain, or even problems in the bedroom. This is not just an old man's concern. It happens to American men more often than in other countries and can occur as young as 30. So don't ignore the symptoms. Get checkups from your doctor and order your risk-free bottle of Beta Prostate to support healthy prostate functioning. Every man should take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate will help keep your prostate healthy, and it's a natural alternative. You don't need a prescription for it. Call now and order Beta Prostate risk-free. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800 954-0803. Don't put this call off till tomorrow. Call today, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free. Call now, 800-845-2300 for The Forward. That's 800-845-2300.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
He tried. I'm Rita Foley. The guy who cheated investors out of nearly a $500 million, then faked his own death on the day he was supposed to go to prison, told a judge in New York this morning he tried to kill himself. The judge revoked his bail. Prosecutors say the death penalty is possible in a Vermont sex ring kidnapping case. Yesterday, they found the body of 12-year-old Brooke Bennett. They say the girl's uncle will face federal kidnapping charges. This is the prosecutor.
Based on the investigation, as it stands right now, we do not believe there's a continuing danger to the public.
Three American hostages are at a military hospital in Texas after being rescued from Colombian rebels yesterday. Mike Gonzalez is going to be there to see his just-freed brother, Mark. He's already seen him on the news.
He looks good. I mean, they all look, you know, good for being what they went through. I think they look pretty good.
When Indianapolis sets off the fireworks tonight, Meredith Smith will be among them. The late school maintenance worker's ashes will be added to a shell to honor him, say supporters. I'm Rita Foley.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. The wrench in the right-wing noise machine. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Are you tired of feeling helpless against the power of greedy corporatocracy? Are you sick of gas companies making record profits off you and credit card companies charging you interest rates that in better times would have been considered usury? Like most Americans, your bills are probably keeping you awake at night and from saving for your future. Borrowing against the precious equity in your home is simply a strategy employed by those who would love to keep you forever financially enslaved. So are you ready for a clean slate? Well, Clean Slate Unlimited has established a highly effective debt settlement program, which may be your best option. They can reduce your unsecured debt by up to 70% and have you debt-free in as little as 12 months with easy monthly payments that fit your budget. If you have more than $7,000 in medical, credit card, or other debt, call 888-SLATE-90. That's 888-752-8390. Don't be a casualty of the war on the middle class. Get a clean slate. Log on to yourcleanslate.com or call 888-752-8390 now.
My Dish Now offers you their absolute best deal ever. Schedule your installation right now and get free installation, a free high-definition DVR upgrade that works on two TVs, a free year subscription to TV Guide, and an Apple iPod thank you gift just for switching to Dish Network. Grab your credit card and schedule now. There's no equipment to buy, and Dish Network packages start at under $20 a month. Call now, 1-800-610-7657. This amazing offer won't last long, so call now. 1-800-610-7657. 1-800-610-7657.
Action point.
Do not fall in love with a politician. The ideals, the goals, the possibilities, the probabilities, they're all going to happen if we are the ones who remain in charge. And we're not in charge. You know, we're starting to get our hands around power on the local level. But that means constant vigilance in our own biases, in our own beliefs. Do we believe that we're government or do we believe that we're helpless?
Knowledge is power. Tune in to Action Point with Cynthia Black. Sundays from 11 to 2 on 1480 KPHX.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
The news has been canceled. You understand. Well, they love to invoke this fact. We're a nation at war. How do you know? How does anybody know that we're at war besides that they want to wiretap us and make us very afraid of something? Just be very afraid. Poison pen guns, there's exploding cows out there, plastic baggies. Be very afraid of plastic baggies.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
Now more with Tom Hartman on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Don't take your guns to town. He drank his first strong liquor then to calm his shaking hand and tried to tell himself at last he had become a man. A dusty cowpoke at his side began to laugh him down, and he heard again his mother's words. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Yeah, this has become a real solid part of American folklore, history, everything else. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. By the way, we're going to run our contest today. We're going to be giving away a copy of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It. And, in fact, this particular copy I will be autographing for the person who wins the contest. The contest will be whoever posts what is in Sean Taylor, our producer's opinion, her esteemed opinion, her favorite, we'll just call it her favorite post over at TomHartman.com on our blog for today's show. So, you know, whatever you come up with. 866-303-2270. Before I get to your phone calls, I just want to lay out, I think that in addition to, frankly, you know, states and municipalities dealing with this, because there are rural parts of this country where the concern about gun control and guns are completely different from very urban parts of this country. And I'm a supporter of, as much as I understand the Second Amendment, I also understand the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, which, you know, in particular the Tenth Amendment, which says basically that the government is going to stay out of the business of the states. So if a state wants to regulate handguns in their own state or even ban them, or a city, I think that they should have that right. Here you have two parts of the Bill of Rights seemingly at conflict, at odds with each other. And I also think that we should have a national militia, not a national militia. I think that we should have local militias. We should go back to that founding vision, like they do in Switzerland, where we say, if you know, every, basically a draft. And I think that it should be an exchange, and it should be an exchange for free education. We should offer free education, whether it's vocational education or whether it's college education, to anybody who wants it. In exchange for that, they have to serve 1 year in some sort of a military service, or if they have a religious or philosophical, even a political objection to that, they can work in hospitals, they can work in nonprofits, in child care facilities, elder care facilities, you know, an ecology facility, cleaning up the highways, planting trees, whatever. They have some option. But a year of service to your country, and then let's reduce the power of the federal government, as it were, of this national entity, and to take it to the level of local militias. This is Jefferson. He was writing, he says, our men are so happy to stay at home, they will not hire themselves to be shot at for a shilling a day. He didn't ever want to see the day when you had a national military that was basically paying people to die. He said, it is more a subject of joy that we have so few desperate characters which compose modern regular armies. But it proves forcibly the necessity of obliging every citizen to be a soldier. This is a necessity for a free state where there is no oppression. There will be no pauper hirelings. We got nothing but pauper hirelings here these days. Mark in Laramie, New Mexico, listening on KTRC. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom. When you mentioned Switzerland, I was struck when you read the early American version of what a regulated militia is. When I lived in Switzerland, every man between the ages of 18 and 50, I think it was required to have an assault rifle, one of the finest select-fire assault rifles that we have in the world, and ammo, and get together a few weeks out of the year with his local neighbors, actually,
right,
to practice defending their land.
Right, and these are organized at the city and at the canton level, at the state level,
yeah.
And it's, many argue it's one of the reasons, aside from the mountains, that Hitler never invaded Switzerland.
They stayed made out of World War One and Two. There were other reasons like gold and banking and stuff
sure.
like that. But to this day, it would be suicide. Even with nuclear weapons, they have bomb shelters dug into their mountainsides that can take in the entire population of the Swiss within 12 hours.
Yeah, the Swiss have been survivors for a long, long time, and they're following the founder's vision of this country with regard to the military. I think it was a brilliant one. Mark, thank you for the call, and thank you for the amen there. Alan in Seattle. Hey, listening on Talk 1090. Hey, Alan.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things here, and one is licensing and one is banning.
Right.
And as a veteran and a lifelong Democrat, I'm a very pro-Second Amendment. And most of my friends up here that are liberals who disagree with the right to carry arms or believe it should only go to the military, I simply point to George Bush and say there's a reason why I don't think any of us should give up all of our weapons.
So, okay, but let's pull on that thread a little bit, Alan, because I hear that from a lot of folks, and I consider myself very pro-Second Amendment, too, so apparently we're interpreting it differently, because I think that the Second Amendment basically is an anti-standing army during times of peace amendment and requires something like Switzerland has, frankly. But setting that aside for the moment, the point you just made, make it again.
Yes. Well, I agree that they talk about well-regulated militias. And I'm not an absolute expert on constitutional law. I've taken a little bit of classes on it. But I also know the Second Amendment, the way it is written, the way our professor discussed it to us, it is written in the same way that all other rights in the Constitution are written about in the form of individual rights as opposed to group rights, the wording that is used.
But see, the Constitution doesn't grant rights.
Huh?
The Constitution doesn't grant rights. The Constitution limits the power of government.
Correct. So when the Constitution talks about limiting the power of government over a group or over an individual, the wording that is used in the Second Amendment is the same language that is used in the free speech and other.
No, but the point you made a moment ago was that George Bush was the reason why you think that people should be able to have guns. And I know that you're not calling for his assassination or anything like that. What you're talking about is that if a government becomes oppressive, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, it is not just the right, it is the duty of the people to overthrow that government and provide for new services. Is that the point that you're making?
That is the point, but also in the right to carry and bear arms, there have been Supreme Court decisions which have said the police actually have no responsibility, and in case there's very famous cases on it, they have no responsibility to actually show up at a crime scene.
No,
and some of these neighborhoods...
I understand all that. Now you're talking about self-defense, but I want to get back to this issue because this is the one, like when I go on these right-wing radio shows, and I'm talking about the really, you know, like the short-wave ones out of Colorado, and they're literally talking to communities of people who are hoarding guns and food, and they are all about being able to overthrow an oppressive government. And my response to them is, do you really think that you know, having a Walther PK-35 or having a SIG or even having, you know, 400 AK-47s or even for that matter having a couple of surface-to-air missiles is going to stop the U.S. military? I mean, you know, it's a joke.
One person will not. But my father was a member of the Green Berets, and he also served in World War II, and he talked about how it was very important that we even get plans on how to make guns to the French resistance, how they could make them from bicycle parts, how they could do these things. One individual with a gun is not going to do anything. 10,000 individuals, of which 100 of them have guns.
Right. But the French resistance were not successful. It took our army to take out Hitler's army, ours and Russia's. It took an army to take out an army. And you know, if you guys want to be able to overthrow the government of the United States, which is not something that I would advocate, I think that we should be looking at overthrowing it by political means, you know, as straightforward. But nonetheless, those gun advocates, those so-called Second Amendment advocates, purists, who say that we must have our guns in case the government gets oppressive. I say, you know, how are you going to handle black helicopters and you know, helicopter gunships and bombers there's no force in the world, including the citizenry of the United States, no matter how well armed they are, who could stand up to the power of the United States government. So then why defend the Second Amendment on that basis?
Okay, the reason here is an insurgency, like we're fighting right now in Iraq,
right.
Can paralyze an army. And we find constantly, as is happening right now in Iraq, political developments then become such that members of the current military or stronger political...
But you've got a couple hundred thousand dead people in Iraq. You've got 4 million refugees. I mean, is that something... Do you want to... Are you wishing another civil war on the United States? That was the bloodiest war we ever fought.
Okay, I will tell you, no, I don't want a civil war in the U.S., but I will say, and I'm not agreeing with a lot of things that are happening right now in Iraq. I certainly do not support the war there, but I know that many of those people that are dead were not fighting for Al-Qaeda. They're fighting for what they believe to be their freedom.
Oh, absolutely. The vast majority of them, according to the Pentagon, the vast majority of them simply want U.S. occupiers out. They feel that they have an occupied country.
That's the situation that we're talking about. And I think that's the situation many people are talking about on the right to bear arms, where, in all honesty, if the Bush regime were to get worse, the price of a couple hundred thousand dead to try to drive them out of power until we could get enough of the military to come onto the side of people that would want to restore the Constitution is not too high a price to pay, and I do not think Thomas Jefferson would think so.
Well, I don't know what Jefferson would say. He at one point he said the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered by the blood of patriots. That was during the French Revolution. After the French Revolution, when he saw the terrors and he saw, you know, what old Maximilian was up to, and Robespierre and the guillotine and everything, at that point he essentially apologized for having said that. I think that if we were to look at, and Aylin, thanks a lot for the call, I think if something like that were to happen in this country, we would be opening a Pandora's box that would be unbelievably bad. It would be a tragedy beyond imagination. It's not a road we want to go down, and I don't think it's a strong or even a useful defense for the right to bear arms. 45 minutes past the hour. We're going to briefly hear from the ACLU and then back to your calls.
The Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Randy Rhodes at noon. Jeff Barry is at 3. Weekday afternoons on 1480 KPHX.
You know, not too long ago, I found a leak in my roof, and I got a few estimates from roofing companies in the area. I decided on dry-fit roofing for the job. They began by removing the deck on top of my roof. Then they repaired the leak and quickly rebuilt the deck. But 6 weeks later, the leak that they fixed wasn't fixed. So dry-fit came back to take another look. Only I wasn't home, but they went ahead and removed the deck again anyway, and then replaced another portion of the roof. The wrong portion. So, of course, I called them, and called them, and called them. But I still haven't heard back from Dry Fit Roofing. At the end of the day, it cost me $4,000 for a leaky roof and a destroyed deck.
Find thousands of unbiased reports and reviews from people in your area on Angie's List. Our members share their experiences with each other so that you can choose the service company that's right for your job the first time around. Borrow some experience at AngiesList.com.
Conscience Collection designer Gary Patak knows diamonds are a girl's best friend, and rubies and sapphires and emeralds. The Conscience Collection has beautiful, authentic diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and emeralds that are grown instead of mined, so they're not harmful to the environment, and all are made in the USA. Indulge yourself or a favorite conscientious, dazzling diva. Visit ConscienceCollection.com and choose from earrings, pendants, bracelets, and rings for women and men. All of Conscience Collection's elegant jewelry is available in 18-karat gold, palladium, and platinum. This anniversary, give the progressive in your life something she really wants, precious diamonds. They're available in a stunning range of yellows, pinks, and blues. Gary Patak's sparkling creations have been featured in Inside Weddings Magazine, Manhattan Bride, Essence Magazine, and this month's issue of Bridal Guide Magazine. View the online showroom at ConscienceCollection.com or call 800-782-5112. For jewelry that's compatible with your values, follow your conscience at ConscienceCollection.com.
I'm not an attorney and I'm not an accident victim, but I do work with both. My name's Dina Harris. I'm the administrator for the law firm of Osteen & Harrison, and I've worked here for nearly 20 years. Over that time, I've seen thousands of people who've been injured in accidents, and I'm very pleased to tell you that all of them have had their cases handled in a highly professional way, and they were all shown the attention, courtesy, concern, and respect that everyone deserves. The attorneys at Osteen & Harrison have recovered more than $3 billion for our clients. So if you're ever injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, call Osteen & Harrison at 602-252-8888. It's not about getting even. It's about getting you everything you deserve. Call us at 602-252-8888. You can ask for me if you'd like. I'm Dina Harris for Osteen and Harrison, and we'd like to help you.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional, but then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD works in the privacy of your own home. It will give you everything you need to recover and succeed. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our program that if you can find a better alcohol recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-962-0294. That's 1-800-962-0294. 1-800-962-0294.
Randy Rhodes is next at noon, then Jeff Farias at 3 p.m. This is 1480 KPHX.
Before they are.
And I'm telling you, there's just strange stuff going on out there in the world. Drinking up to six cups of coffee. Louise is right. She's a coffee junkie, has been her whole life. I like coffee, but, you know, six cups a day. Drinking up to six cups of coffee a day may lower the overall odds of dying prematurely. Women who drank 2 to 3 cups of coffee, for example, had a 25% lower risk of dying from heart disease than non-drinkers. It has beneficial effects on inflammation and endothelial function, which are the first stages of cardiovascular disease development, Lopez Garcia says, one of the lead authors of the Harvard School of Public Health report. Oh, interesting. Anthony Romero is with us. He is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU.org, and I am a proud and card-carrying member of the ACLU, and I encourage you to become one, too, ACLU.org. And, Anthony, you guys are into your largest civil rights and liberties fundraising campaign in history?
That's right, and we're 88 years old. But, wow. But it's much more than a fundraising campaign. This is more than about money. This is about building the civil liberties and civil rights infrastructure in the red states. We're not looking to buy buildings. We're not building an endowment. What we're looking is to take our offices that have often been there for decades, like our Texas office has been there for 70 years.
Right.
And it's always been too puny. It's always been too small. It's always been the David to the government's Goliath. And to grow it to a 45-person office.
That's great.
Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri, New Mexico, Arizona, Michigan. Why are we picking these states? Because these are often the battleground states for civil liberties, where gay rights is on the line, where choice is on the line, where the death penalty is still being enacted. Where
freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. All those issues play out much more directly in the center of the country than on the coast.
Right.
And that's why we're building this infrastructure now. It's so important.
Well, it's absolutely marvelous. I wanted to get you on briefly to just plug that and say that I totally support it. I know our listeners do. And now is a really important time for people to go over to ACLU.org and show their support for the ACLU, join the ACLU, become, as George Herbert Walker Bush derisively said, a card-carrying member of the
it's
ACLU.
One of our finest moments when
indeed.
He derided us.
Indeed.
That.
Anthony, thanks so much for dropping by, and good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Keep up the great work. It's great talking with you. ACLU.org. Check it out. Let's see here. Jay in the Bay Area in California. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I think you're a brilliant and honorable man. I just want to say that this Constitution regarding bearing arms, I think that's the most important thing we have right now. I believe Bush and his people are going to take over the country. I just have no doubt that they
are going to.
They were involved in that 9/11. I have no doubt, the Pearl Harbor effect. And if they stole the last two elections, what leads one to think that what they won't do? They federalized the National Guard. They weaned the military, Justice Department, and the Supreme Court and put in their own people. They've implemented a private military, Blackwater. They created doziers on 8 million Americans. They built detention camps in our country instead of continuing to build them. And most of our military is out of the country, and they monopolized control of our telecommunications and all our resources. And the only way that, and I believe the Founding Fathers...
So, Jay, you think that we need to have an armed uprising against the Bush Reich?
No, because it will not work just like you said. I mean, we can't take on the military.
So what do we do?
In any situation, the military has to go along with the people.
Yeah.
If we don't have the military on our side, it will never happen.
Yeah. Excellent.
Excuse me?
No, I was going to say, okay, finish your thought there. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying this is one of the reasons I think they're moving most of our military out the country.
Yeah.
And they're weaning our top officials in the military because they want people in there that will do what they say.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why if you're – and thank you, Jay, for the call. It's one of the reasons why if you're a senior officer in the military, you have, you know, $1 million job waiting for you when you leave. If you're sufficiently compliant in private industry, it's one of the reasons why you have all these private contractors. You know, about half the military in Iraq right now is private contract. I mean, this – yeah. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Jeff in Denver, Colorado, KKZN. Hey, Jeff.
Hi. I've urged that we take a pragmatic look at real-world examples. The countries with the most armed citizenry, such as Iraq and Afghanistan, have the most oppressive governments. Iraq had a dictator, but the citizens were armed.
Yeah.
While the least armed societies, such as Japan and European nations, have very free and stable societies.
That should tell us something, you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, the reverse argument of that is that the first thing that Hitler did in the Warsaw Ghetto was collect the guns.
Okay, but look at but guns are false power. Truth power comes from honest news media, good education, and accurate vote count.
Excellent point.
He did not get in through violence. He got in through a stolen election. And you see that over and over again. And I would urge all gun advocates to put, you know, the people really are into guns, turn that energy into accurate elections, and you will not have an oppressive government.
Well said, Jeff. Thank you very much. Brilliant observation as always, and to the absolute total folks who think that the Second Amendment is the be-all and end-all of everything, I say... There you go. John in Marin County. Hey, John. I'm sorry, John. I'd already moved along. I'm sorry, David in Detroit, Michigan, and WDTW. David, we got about a half a minute here before we got to wrap up this first hour of the show.
Okay, real quick, good. I just wanted to say, anybody who thinks that the right to bear arms would put down a government, an oppressive government, you got to remember the government has nuclear weapons. They would destroy you if they so chose. And the second point I wanted to make is, I think this whole debate underscores the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats seem to take a more intellectual approach to issues, and we really think about things instead of just getting emotional. And like you said, yeah, the right to bear arms, it sounds, you know, glamorous. We're going to, you know, hold off this oppressive government, but be realistic. That the right to bear arms would never prevent the United States government from oppressing you if they so chose. You need to have accurate elections.
Yeah, accurate elections. You need to have an informed populace. You need to have a strong national media. You need to have voices that speak back. Like here on this show, we need more of this kind of media all around the United States. 57 minutes past the hour. Coming up after the news, Rick Perlstein, a senior fellow at the Campaign for America's Future, about Nixon Land.
The Tom Hartman Program.
News without conflicts of global corporate interests.
You're listening.
In 15 minutes, you could spend a fortune at the gas pump. You could make yourself sick on beef jerky. You could probably adopt way too many cats. Or, in 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. There are plenty of ways to save. Discounts for being a good driver, multi-car discounts. You could save 15% or more. But if you enjoy spending your 15 minutes with way too many cats, by all means, who might the judge?
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Get the good stuff! At Napa Auto Parts, we know you want to keep your engine looking just as good as it runs. That's why we've got the world's number one selling engine degreaser for only $1.99 a can. Stop in today for Gunk Engine Bright or Gunk Foamy Engine Bright and remove tough grease and grime from practically any engine. They're just $1.99 each, and you can save even more with a $1 mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Do you still owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? Still? Okay, one more time. This is Rich Boggs again, founder and CEO of Nationwide Tax Relief. I run one of the largest tax relief firms in the country. If you are still suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. We just saved a business owner in Kentucky $2.9 million in penalties, a landmark settlement, and we just helped a single mom in New York. IRS was levying her bank account and her wages, and we lifted both levies in 72 hours. Yeah, happy client. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, call Nationwide. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 800-227-1992. That's 800-227-1992. Call 800-227-1992.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. More signs of a troubled economy, this time on the jobs front. AP's James Limbach has the latest jobs figures.
Employers cut 62,000 payroll jobs in June. It marks the sixth straight month of nationwide job losses. So far this year, the economy has lost a total of 438,000 jobs.
Even though there have been job losses, the unemployment rate remains at 5.5%. Just as you're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July weekend, you might also want to prepare yourself for higher gas prices. Oil today is trading at more than $144 a barrel. Energy analyst Damian Cox says any kind of weather problems this summer could drive those prices up even higher.
An active hurricane season is could cause significant disruption to offshore production and downstream refining activities.
Right now on Wall Street, a good day. The Dow's up by about 73 points. A troubling story out of Vermont. The body of 12-year-old Brooke Bennett was found in a shallow grave near her uncle's house, and he now faces federal charges that could lead to the death penalty. U.S. Attorney Thomas Anderson is trying to assure the community that there's no further danger now that Michael Jakes is in custody.
Based on the investigation, as it stands right now, we do not believe there's a continuing danger to the public.
The girl disappeared June 25th after being seen at a convenience store with Jakes. More evacuations in and around Big Sur, California as wildfires threaten more homes and businesses. This woman told KGO-TV she's trying to save a number of personal and business items.
We've packed up all the important stuff to our business. You know, you begin to realize very quickly what's important and what's not. Computers, records, got all of our employees out to their homes.
More than 30 miles of Highway 1 has been closed near Big Sur. John McCain is meeting with Mexico's president today and plans to ask for his help in addressing illegal immigration. Meanwhile, Barack Obama is meeting with veterans and military families in North Dakota. This is AP Radio News. Conservatives and liberals often make their voices heard during elections, but it's possible that other voters could make the difference in this year's presidential contest.
A recent AP Yahoo News poll finds that 15% of voters describe themselves as moderates, and fully half of those are independents. The survey has found that Republican John McCain and Democrat Barack Obama have the support of the party faithful, so now both are turning their sights onto the so-called mushy middle. Pew Research Center Director Andrew Cohut says the center has always mattered in elections, even more so now because both candidates have been appealing to independents throughout the campaign. Tim McGuire, Washington.
President Bush on hand today for a groundbreaking for a new military medical center outside of Washington.
At this new center, the Americans who fight for our freedom will get the compassion and support they deserve.
It replaces the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Brought to you by Home Depot. At the Home Depot, you can find a wide selection of stylish, energy-saving indoor and outdoor ceiling fans under $100 from Hunter and Hampton Bay. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
1480 KPHX. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Sticking a big old wad of truth in your ear every day. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk. 1480 KPHX.
You know, being a great heating and air conditioning contractor is all about making sure energy is used efficiently and safely. Hi, I'm Kirk with North Valley Mechanical. I've been a proud supporter of KPHX since the beginning. Now you can see that advertising on this station helps my company grow. You can hear it also helps keep a network of progressive voices going strong in the Valley. If you feel you need an expert in indoor comfort, call me at 480-538-9184 or log on to northvalleymechanical.com. But if you're looking for an expert in marketing your business, call 1480-KPHX.
Hi, this is Kim Macias, General Sales Manager with 1480-KPHX. For the best return on your advertising, click on Advertise at 1480-KPHX.com.
Hey Phoenix, Tom Hartman here. Have you visited the Art of Framing yet? They're owned by a local artist who cares as much for your art as they do for the environment. With every framing purchase, the Art of Framing contributes to the Conservation Fund to offset your carbon footprint. Frame your favorite photos, art, or keepsakes while keeping focus on the big picture. Stop into the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback. That's the Art of Framing on the northwest corner of Central and Camelback.
Introduce your business to the buying power of the LGBT community. Advertising with Equality Arizona is tremendous exposure for your business. Hi, I'm Donna Rossi, host of Equality Arizona Radio every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. To learn more about advertising on Equality Arizona Radio, send an email to radio@equalityarizona.org or call Mita at 602-650-0900.
The Jeff Farias Show.
How many times have we heard from the right wing about, you know, big government? You know? They're against big government, unless you're scared. And they're the biggest government you could ever imagine. The biggest, scariest, with this crazy old yellow teeth old man in front of it, shaking his fist against a green screen, yelling into the night.
The Jeff Farias Show. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX. This is the Tom Hartman Program, live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Now, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Families USA, the voice for healthcare consumers, has results of a new study out now. 50-state survey released today reveals that insurance companies in most states are not prohibited from denying health coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. They are not prohibited from refusing to pay for services needed to treat common ailments. And all of this is adding huge premium surcharges for people. Oh, they are not prohibited from adding huge premium surcharges for people with family histories of health problems. And they are not prohibited from yanking policies and denying payments when consumers face a rash of medical bills. In other words, just when you get sick, your insurance company can say, you know, we're not going to take your check anymore, and we're not going to pay anything anymore. Sorry, see you later. In fact, only 5 states prohibit insurance companies from cherry-picking the healthiest consumers and excluding everyone else. In 35 states and districts in Columbia, there are no limits on how much an insurer can raise your premium based on your health status. Boom, you get cancer suddenly. In 35 states in the United States, you get cancer, all of a sudden you're paying $5, $10, $15, $20,000 a month for health insurance. In 21 states in the District of Columbia, insurers can exclude coverage for pre-existing conditions for more than a year. In 44 states in the District of Columbia, insurers can revoke an individual's health insurance policy without advance review by the state. In other words, they can simply say, oh, you got sick? We're not going to insure you anymore. That's 44 states. 29 states, the District of Columbia, insurers are allowed to deny legitimate claims of policyholders who are up to date with their premium payments by digging back years into their medical history and alleging that they failed to disclose or should have known about a pre-existing condition. Well, you have cancer, and you never noticed that you were feeling a little tired? We think that's a pre-existing condition. 45 states, the District of Columbia, insurers do not have to spend at least 75% of premium revenue on health care. In other words, they can take even more than 25% of all the money that they get in and spend it on things like executive compensation, so people like Bill McGuire can make more than $1.7 billion. And in 20 states and the District of Columbia, insurers can set and raise premiums anytime they want for any reason they want because there's no meaningful oversight. Carrie Lucas is with us. She's the Vice President of Policy and Economics at the Independent Women's Forum. Carrie, our question, will deregulating the healthcare industry turn into the Wild Wild West? Sounds to me like it's already pretty well deregulated.
Well, I think you're listing a whole lot of regulations that don't exist. And what the study that you're talking about, it doesn't talk about how much these things are going on. So when they talk about the ability of people to, or ability of an insurance company to go ahead and drop someone from coverage the second they get cancer, they don't talk about exactly how much this is happening. So this is really more of a warning story. And I think that one of the
But do you want to have your insurance company have the legal ability to just blow you off, even though you've been making payments for years and years? Because all of a sudden, God forbid, you
I do think it makes sense to look at how what regulations are out there and how to protect people who have been paying in and so that an insurance company has to act like an insurance company.
So you're in favor of government regulation of insurance companies?
Some government regulations are prudent and make sense. In particular, when it comes to one of the problems is that we don't have a deregulated healthcare system, and there's a lot of problems. It makes it hard on consumers and hard on insurers, for that matter, to provide products to that make sense when it comes to healthcare. You know, one of the things that's not talked about, but I think is really kind of central to when we're talking about the private insurance or individual insurance marketplace, is just how completely unfair it is. The government policy that right now absolutely favors those who have employer provided healthcare. That's really the one of the worst things going in the insurance market, because if you're out there and you're buying individual insurance, you have to do it with after-tax dollars. You've already paid taxes on this money, and then you have to go out and buy your health insurance simply because you're not employed by somebody who offers you insurance. But for all those folks who are sitting there and working for big corporations that provide very cushy, very generous health insurance packages, they're all doing that with pre-tax dollars. So that's a really unlevel playing field. So I think we should all
agree.
Yeah, that's one of the first places to start.
I mean, that's something that should have been done a couple of decades ago, and it's something that, frankly, Democrats have been advocating for and Republicans have been opposing.
Really? Because I know that the president came out for that earlier and talked about the need to try to level this playing field so that private insurance was deductible, and I thought that it didn't get much traction on Capitol Hill, but hey, this could be a bipartisan moment, and
well,
we should all jump
on board. Was this during when the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate? Because I remember writing about this like 6 years ago, and the take then was that folks like Greenspan and the traditional kind of corporate conservatives were opposed to this because they felt that if people could get health insurance anywhere they went more easily, if they didn't have to get it from their employer, if there was a penalty if they lost their employer, then they would be more likely to leave their employers, and it would stir up the job market.
I sure don't think so. As far as, you know, all the groups I talk to and work with, from the Cato Institute and Heritage Foundation, this is one of the top to-do lists, is to change the tax treatment so that individual insurance, like employer-provided health insurance, is deductible. So I think that, you know, maybe there is more bipartisanship. I think that
perhaps. On the other hand, you know, what you're suggesting, that if you or I as individuals were to buy health insurance, that it's tax-deductible, just like a corporation, that then becomes the camel's nose under the tent towards saying, we're not going to do any employer-provided health insurance anymore. You're all on your own now. And by the way, isn't it cool that you get a tax break?
Well, but I think that, well, I don't know.
Isn't that what you...
Is that so bad? If, you know, one of the real problems that's facing our employment, our healthcare system and our, frankly, our job market is that there's a lot of people who feel tied to their jobs because of their health insurance.
Okay, so we're both agreeing that employer-provided health insurance is imperfect.
Absolutely.
Okay, so then the question becomes, why have corporations, private companies, that are taking anywhere from 15% to 30% of our healthcare dollars, of our insurance dollars, and using them to pay huge salaries, to pay bloated bureaucracies, to pay for gold-plated faucets on the corporate jet's bathroom, to pay for advertising and marketing campaigns, to pay for dividends to stockholders, and to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in lobbying, instead of, for example, Medicare, which has a 3% overhead? Why should we turn our health care dollars over to these companies rather than to Medicare? Why not go to a single-payer health care system and call it Medicare?
Well, I think that I bet a lot of people in the audience know instinctively what a problem it would be for the government to take over all of our health care system. One of the problems...
Well, they're running two of the largest health care systems in the country, Medicare and the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, and I think if you ask a lot of people in the Medicaid and Medicare system for that matter, a lot of them expressed a great deal of frustration, lack of doctor choice, lack of quality of care. And one of the
problems... It's nothing compared to not being insured.
Well, sure, but compared to, when we think about things that work well and things that don't work well, one of the main, factors is often an incentive, is competition. And the simple fact is that too often when you have a monopoly or a one party or one provider system, they don't have an incentive to take care of their customers.
Well, I'm not suggesting we make private insurance illegal. I mean, there's always going to be people who have high incomes who are going to want, better, faster, cooler health care than anybody else gets. And there's always going to be a market of people to provide it to them. But, isn't it obscene, frankly, that we have millions and millions of that 50%, more than 50% of all bankruptcies in this country are caused by people getting sick?
Well, sure, and I think that's why we need to make it easier for people to buy insurance. Right now, some of the things that make...
Out of their own pockets.
Out of their own pockets, or, there's...
But that's not spreading the risk around. I mean, a single family can't handle that. I mean, the whole point of insurance is to spread the risk. You get as many people involved as possible.
Well, sure, but if we had... If our individual insurance, it shouldn't be. Our health insurance should not be as expensive as it is. Right now, there's a lot of regulations so that in some states, you have to... The individual health insurance you buy or the health insurance you buy has to include mental health care. And while you may decide that that's something you want, I may decide that's something I want, we all know you're going to pay more. Your premiums are going to go up if it provides... For things like mental health care, and so that's one of the reasons why I think that we should deregulate, encourage there to be a more choice when it comes to insurance packages, so that people can have things like high deductible.
So people can choose to be underinsured.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Basically.
And I think that
you don't think that there's going to be a harm to society in that when those underinsured people get hit with a $500,000 health care bill that they can't pay.
Yeah, there is, but there's also a great cost to moving towards a single payer system. If you look at what goes on in Canada, one of the things we should both kind of admit when we're talking about the healthcare system is there's not going to be a perfect system. There's going to be some winners and some losers from any system you create, whether that's government shortages or a few people who can't get healthcare because it's too expensive.
I'll agree with you on that. Absolutely. Carrie Lucas, Vice President of Policy and Economics at the Independent Women's Forum, IWF.org is their website. Carrie, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour.
This is Tom Hartman.
The Tom Hartman Program, where smart people get their news.
Mike Malloy at 6 p.m., Rachel Maddow at 9, weeknights on 1480 KPHX.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free. Call now, 800-845-2300 for The Forward. That's 800-845-2300.
Buying a good used car can be a nightmare, but not at Consolidated Auto Sales. At Consolidated Auto Sales, they carefully choose the best cars based on quality, dependability, and price, and then pass the savings on to you. Family-owned and operated, Consolidated's been selling cars for 65 years in the same location since 1942. Call 602-258-6071. Don't just buy a pre-owned car. Buy from a dealership with honesty, integrity, and longevity. Drive by to see the good guys at Consolidated Auto Sales in the heart of Phoenix, right on the price and right on the corner of 16th Street and Van Buren. Or shop online at consolidatedauto.com or call 602-258-6071. That's 602-258-6071.
As a progressive business owner on a tight budget, you know that spending long hours doing your own bookkeeping can be a real headache. Affording a full-time bookkeeper is costly, even with popular software packages. Concentrating on building your business is what really matters. Hi, this is Carrie with Camelview Accounting Services. As an expert in QuickBooks, I pride myself in office setups, organization, and maintenance through financial statements. In just a few weeks, you will be up and running, and for as little as 4 hours per month, your bookkeeping will stay on track. When tax time rolls around again, you will have a complete package to take to your CPA. The beauty of it is, you won't have to hire a full-time bookkeeper. Call me right now at 480-946-2484. And for a full line of services, please visit my website at camelviewaccounting.biz. That's 480-946-2484 or the website at camelviewaccounting.biz.
Come visit Copper Star Coffee in the heart of the historic Melrose District, nestled conveniently on 7th Avenue just north of Indian School. Meet your best friend for lunch, a client, or your book club at Copper Star Coffee. Enjoy the finest locally roasted coffee or a tasty pastry in the historically renovated 50-style Phillips Station for full-service coffee. Whether you're stopping by to meet a friend or driving through on your way to work, Copper Star Coffee is coffee with character. Copper Star Coffee, a 50s feel with modern technology. Free Wi-Fi is available. Give them a call at 602-266-2136. Or stop in Copper Star Coffee on 7th Avenue, just north of Indian School Road. Or visit us on the web at copperstarcoffee.com. That's Copper Star Coffee. Coffee with character.
Back to the Tom Hartman Program, live on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Got my tonsils out in Taiwan, my gallbladder out in Greece. Took a side trip up to Sweden to fill some caverns in my teeth. Saw a doctor down in Denmark and a specialist in Spain to see what could be causing me this dull but steady pain. Took a trip up to Toronto just to buy some little pills. Thought I'd died and gone to heaven when they handed me the bill. Went to Norway when I noticed that my eardrum had a hole. Got back home just in time to watch the Super Bowl. It's been a brutal year, but man, I'm glad I was overseas, where you can see the doctor when you really got a need. Where people, they live longer, babies also like they should. I guess they call it healthcare, and I guess they got it good.
I guess this thing called healthcare, how strange it is. Well, you know, the fundamental difference between John McCain and Barack Obama on these issues, in my opinion, boils down to this deep philosophical difference between the role of government in these things. And, well, for example, you know, Ronald Reagan famous for saying,
"I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Yeah. And you know, 1981, Reagan being sworn into office, ushered in an era which has, by and large, extended right up to this day. You'll recall it was Bill Clinton who said the era of big government is over. It was Bill Clinton who aggressively actually shrunk the size of government, the number of employees, although the number of contractors went up. I mean, it's flip a coin, but nonetheless, it was Bill Clinton who gave us balanced budgets. But Reagan, I would say Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush have all had basically the philosophy that the role of government should be highly limited, highly restricted, and that most things are solved best by the free market. And if you're talking about consumer goods, I absolutely agree. I don't want the government making my TV set. I don't want them making my computer. I don't want them making my shoes. I don't want them making my blue jeans. I don't want them making my car. When I lived in Germany, the little East German cars, the Trebis, they were a disaster. Government-manufactured cars. Little three-cylinder things that left a huge cloud of smoke behind them wherever they went and weren't upgraded for decades. And, you know, you could get them in one color. And it's just, I think they had multiple colors for them. But in any case, I don't want the government engaged in those things. But the one reason why we have government, and this is why it blows my mind that we don't even have civics classes of any consequence in our high schools anymore, because you've got kids graduating from school who obviously don't even know why we created the United States of America in the first place. They think it was about getting rid of taxes. In fact, the whole tax thing had to do with, you know, the British East India Company getting a tax break on their tea. The no taxation without representation, as it tied into the Boston Tea Party, was the colonist objecting to a tax break for a big corporation, while taxes were still being hit at fairly high levels on their small entrepreneurial import shops. So, you know, it was an objection to Walmart, as it were. But nonetheless, the split, I would say, breaks down to Obama is taking the position, or a position very close to the position, that health care in the United States is a right, and that it falls broadly under the rights defined in the Constitution, or the Declaration of Independence anyway, the preamble of the Constitution as well. In the preamble of the Constitution, the references to the general welfare. In the Declaration of Independence, the word is happiness, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But here's the opening sentence of the Constitution, what it says, why we created this country. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Tell people who could be disappeared by the president about that one. Ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare. And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Doesn't say anything about Iraq in there. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So, broadly speaking, that the people have the right, under the welfare clause or the welfare reference in the preamble of the Constitution, have a right to health care, that health care should be a right. John McCain is taking the contrary position, the classic Republican conservative position, that no, health care is a privilege. That whether you live or die is a privilege. There is no right to life in the United States, according to John McCain and the Republican Party, and some Democrats for that matter. There is no right to life. If you are sick, for actual living, breathing humans, if you are sick and you may die and you don't have the money to solve that problem, see you later, Charlie. That's the bottom line from the Republican point of view. You know, and if you chose to get a high-risk insurance, health insurance policy, or if you chose to be underinsured, hey, it was your choice. That's the Republican point of view. The Democratic point of view is, and has been ever since Harry Truman proposed national health care in 1947 and couldn't get it through a Republican legislature. The Republicans controlled the House and the Senate that year. The Democratic position has always been that health care is a right. It's been more or less explicit by various people at various times, but that's the bottom line. And I think we really need to frame the debate in those terms. Is healthcare a right or a privilege? And if it's a right, then our government has the obligation to protect our rights or to provide for our rights, protect our life, our right of life, and our right and through the general welfare clause. Absolutely.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Call Tom at 866-303-2270.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Weekdays on 1480 KPHX.
My home is 70 years old, and so are some of its problems. I was looking for a handyman to seal a leaky sink when I called Brad Schrader. Brad answered the phone himself and set up an appointment for the following day. He was on time and neatly dressed, and I quickly knew how much he enjoyed his job because he wouldn't shut up about it. First, he details all the problems. Then he gives the reasons why the problems need to be fixed. He tells you how much every little thing costs and why it costs that much. He is constantly explaining himself and often explains the explanations. But you know what? He is the perfect gentleman. Brad is nice and just wants to make sure you feel good about the work he's doing. I would recommend Brad without a thought. But next time, I think I'll let him do the work when I'm not home.
Find thousands of unbiased reports and reviews from members in your area on Angie's List. From handymen to electricians, educate your guests at AngiesList.com.
These days, the fastest thing on the road is the rising price at the pump. And when it comes to gas mileage, what you get out of your car depends on what you put into it. Napa Auto Parts can help you get the most out of every gallon with Quaker State conventional motor oil, just $2.19 per quart. Quaker State oils are designed with advanced friction fighters to help increase fuel economy and engine reliability. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good!
It's cruising time.
Get on board the Air America Cruise, sailing to Belize, Guatemala, and Mexico this November.
Celebrate an Obama victory out on the high seas while spending time with your favorite Air America hosts, listeners, and like-minded progressives, including special guests Ron Reagan and Bob Schrum.
The Air America Cruise, sailing to the exotic Western Caribbean on November 16th.
Space is limited, so reserve your cabin today.
Call 1-800-955-7018 or visit airamericacruise.com.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Charges against the uncle. I'm Ed Donahue. Federal kidnapping charges have been filed in Vermont against Michael Jakes. His 12-year-old niece was found dead near his home.
The penalty under federal law for kidnapping with death resulting is death or life imprisonment.
According to prosecutors, Jakes tricked 12-year-old Brooke Bennett into thinking she was going to a party and instead took her to his home to initiate her into a child sex ring. The unemployment rate held steady in June, but 62,000 jobs were cut.
There were heavy job losses in construction, manufacturing, and financial services, along with cutbacks in retailing.
James Limbach, oil prices hit a new record high, almost $146 a barrel. AAA says gas prices on average are at a record high of close to $4.10 a gallon. Energy analyst Damian Cox says severe weather could send prices even higher.
An active hurricane season could cause significant disruption to offshore production and downstream refining activities.
Tropical storm Bertha has formed in the Atlantic off the coast of Africa. The Dow is up 60 points. I'm Ed Donahue.
1480 KPHX, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. It's talk radio for the rest of us. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
There's a program on 1480 KPHX on Saturdays at 1 p.m. called Desert Politics, brought to you by the Maricopa County Democratic Party. This program gets to the issues that face our cities, our county, and our state. We'll talk with the people who identify the problems, suggest solutions, and pass the legislation. We'll discuss those things happening at the Capitol that you don't hear discussed anywhere else. Just for fun, we'll mine the legislative archives for those quotes and bills that will make you scratch your head wondering what they're thinking. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 1480 KPHX for Desert Politics.
Got the time, honey?
5 to 9.
But it's the middle of the afternoon, Steve. Wait, you've been acting strange since we called 5 to 9.
When you're offline, call 5 to 9.
Sweetie, 5 to 9 computer service was great. 5 to 9 came to us on our time to get our computer back online. But you're driving me crazy with this 5 to 9 thing.
Just one more time.
Fine.
When you're offline, call 5 to 9.
5 to 9 will get you back online in no time.
So call 5 to 9 for all your computer repair needs at 602-535-5699. That's 602-535-5699.
Trying to reduce your carbon footprint? Looking for ways to go green? Want to learn more about renewable energies? Then visit FuelCellStore.com. FuelCellStore.com is a leading marketplace for hydrogen and fuel cell products. Providing clean and silent power for any application, fuel cells can replace noisy gas power generators used for mobile and backup power. From gifts for enthusiasts to products for the classroom, Fuel Cell Store provides the most comprehensive range of fuel cell products in the world. Visit FuelCellStore.com today and start going green.
This week on About Face, we will examine the media coverage of the war, the corporate censorship, the self-censorship, and hiding the reality of war from the American people. Maybe Americans don't want to know the truth and the media are just pandering. Well, call in and join the conversation on the Veterans for Peace show About Face at 3 p.m. Saturday. That's 3 p.m. Saturday on 1480 KPHX.
And now, a news editor at a major network.
I'm thinking we need 5 more stories talking about how the Republican senator from Arizona is not conservative enough. Hey, look, the right wing hates him. And we need to get that out there, I think. Because I'm not sure if you noticed, but the right wing really doesn't get a lot of media exposure. They don't get their fair shake. And it's my job to let America know what these people are thinking. Because to say what you want about them, but the right wing knows how to pick presidents. They really do. I mean, the last guy they gave us, he was the bomb.
1480 KPHX.
In more ways than one. Yeah, I get it. Very funny.
The wrench in the right-wing noise machine.
The Randy Rhoads Show. Weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
What gives you the right, hey you, to stand there and tell me what to do? Tell me who gave you the power to stop me from living like I do? Remember,
good plan. 35 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. If you want to drop into our live chat room, go to TomHartman.com and click chat up at the top. Or you can find a link off AirAmerica.com/Tom Hartman page. You can find all the information there. And you'll also find links to the Tom Hartman page and on Air America to our Tom Vision. We're webcasting the shows now. Frank in Fort Lauderdale, listening on WINS. Hey, Frank, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Tom. I was just wondering, I listen to you regularly, and I heard about the fact that as far as a government auto industry, you wouldn't be in favor with your experiences in the past. And I would believe that if you don't want the government making the decisions for you as far as what type of car you drive, why do you think they would do a good job at decisions on health care? I don't quite understand that.
Because with regard to a car, I may have, 15 different preferences, 15 different needs. You know, some people want big cars, some people want small cars. There's a whole, it's a consumer product. It doesn't have to do with my ability to survive, my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I do want the government regulating the auto industry. I want them to tell me, I want to know that my car is not going to blow up, turn into a fireball if it gets rear-ended. I mean, this is what Ralph Nader brought us. I want the government to tell the car companies that their cars have to get a certain minimum gas mileage. There is a role for government in the marketplace. I want to know that the toys that I buy for my children are not bought for my kids back in the days when they used toys, were not contaminated with lead. Things like that. I mean, there is a reasonable role for government in the private industry. But when we're talking about the commons, Frank, when we're talking about the things that we all collectively own, and particularly the risks that we all collectively share, those commons, whether it's our water, whether it's our air, I would argue our power. More than half the power in the United States is provided by publicly owned utilities. I think it should be all. They are, in almost all cases, more efficient and deliver electricity at a lower cost because you don't have stockholders basically skimming the profits off the top. And I would submit to you that health care is part of the commons, that there are such large risks. You get sick, you get injured, you break your neck, and you're paralyzed for the rest of your life. We're talking about hundreds of thousands to tens of millions of dollars in terms of the cost of care over a lifetime. Such huge risks that it's absolutely unreasonable to assume that one person can bear those risks, or to ask one family or even one extended family or even one neighborhood or community to bear those risks. We have to do that collectively on the largest scale possible, which minimizes the risks for all of us individually.
Well, you have to understand that, Tom, our government has two powers. If me and you were farmers and the government wanted us to grow wheat, what they would do is they would subsidize us. If they did
not necessarily
grow corn, the government has two powers: the power to tax and the power to subsidize. We should be subsidizing what we want. We should be taxing what we don't want. And unfortunately, in a socialist-type mentality, what you end up doing is you end up taxing people who are innovative and hardworking. And you tend to subsidize people who are happy doing and performing at bare minimums. And you cannot...
Well, if that's the case, Frank, why is it that when you go into a state-of-the-art hospital, the really coolest equipment is all made outside the United States in countries that have what you would call socialist healthcare systems?
Well, as a matter of fact, Tom, I am in the healthcare community, and I can tell you, I work in the cardiac field. I can tell you in South Florida, we get Canadians come down here who are on six-month waiting lists for cardiac catheterizations. They come down here and they walk into a hospital and have the procedure. I also go to school with guys who do the exact same job I do all over the United States, in North and South America. I was at dinner with a gentleman who does the exact same job at me from Canada. Okay, I'm an engineer. His tax rate is at 51%.
And what,
I'm sorry,
what,
Tom, I don't want to pay 51 cents on a dollar to have a health care.
Consider something for a second, Frank. Consider something for a Frank for a
yes,
moment,
sir.
Frank. Do you mind telling me how much money you make a year?
Agree with what I'm saying?
I'm just gonna extend this for a moment. If you don't want to tell me how much you make in a year, just, you know, let's just pick a number. Let's just say Frank makes $70,000 a year. Okay. Just for the hell of it, just for the purpose of discussion, because I want to talk about taxes with you for a second around this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just imagine that you make $70,000 a year. You're paying 50% tax. That means that you're walking home with $45,000 a year, right?
No, what? Sir. That means you're making you're coming home with $35,000.
$35 out of $70.
If you've got a $200,000 house on a 30-year fixed mortgage.
No, just stay with me for a second here, Frank. Just stay with me for a second.
Let me rebut what you say. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Let's say you're making 70 and you're taking home 35. What that and because you're paying a 50% tax. What that means is that your employer knows that you're willing to work for $35,000 at the end of the day, right?
If you stayed at that job or stayed in that country, I guess so.
Yeah, and employers understand that there's a market for employees, and the market for employees really has nothing to do with taxes. It has to do with how much money people have at the end of the day, you know, after taxes. So your employer knows that you're willing to work for $35,000 a year. Now, let's say that you're living in Canada and paying 50% income tax, and all of a sudden George Bush takes over Canada and cuts taxes down to 20%, and so you're still making $70,000 a year. But now instead of taking home $35,000 a year, you're taking home, and apparently you can do math in your head faster than me, you're taking home something like $50,000 a year, right?
That's correct.
What's your employer going to do? They know that you'll do that job for $35,000 a year. Do you think that they're going to continue paying you $70,000?
Well, what you're doing there is you're building a straw man and you're knocking them.
No, I'm not, because look at the last 7 years. George Bush cuts taxes, and what happens? Pay goes down. Look at the 8 years that preceded that. Bill Clinton increased taxes, and what happened? Pay went up. The bottom line is the marketplace will always compensate for taxes. That's why in Sweden with 50%, 55% tax rates, people are making enough money to live. And that's why in the United States with 25% tax rates or 30%, 32% maximum, people are making enough to live. The bottom line is it doesn't matter. You say, oh, my God, they're paying 51% tax rate, but they don't have to pay for health care.
Okay, well, out of that $35,000, Tom, if you've got a $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're paying $2,000 a month on a mortgage payment with taxes and insurances. That's $24,000 a year. So on that $70,000 income, you got $35,000 left after taxes. After you pay your $200,000 mortgage payment for the year, you can subtract $24,000 from $35,000. So you have
You're living on 11 grand. No, I understand, Frank. I totally understand. My point is that whether the taxes go up or down over the short term, over 1 year, yeah, you're going to notice a difference. But you average that over a five-year period, and I defy you to find any time in the history of the United States, and I've looked at 200 years of these numbers, any time in the history of the United States when this has not been the case, over a five-year period, it will eventually average out. What you will find is that the labor market is always defined by after-tax revenue, after-tax income.
It's the Carter administration, Tom. That's all you got. In going, I've got to go. One last question, Tom.
Yeah.
Does anybody know whether or not Randy Rhodes...
Marzina in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Marzina.
Hi. Hi.
My apologies for Frank's...
that's okay. Am I on the air right now?
You are. Welcome to our program.
Okay. You're welcome. Listen, I called because I was listening to the interview you were having with the lady about healthcare, just previous lady that you were interviewing. And she said something, and I just wrote this down. She says, if you look at what's going on in Canada, and that got to me, because I've heard that opinions many times on your radio, people would call, and against the health insurance in Canada.
And you're listening to us from Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, I'm calling from Toronto, Canada. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Canada for 25 years. So she says something like that, and I go, okay, where those statistics are coming from? What those people know that I don't know that I...
Marzina, we just have a minute before we've got to take a break. Are you saying that you like or even love the health care that you get in Canada?
Of course.
Why?
Of course. It's the main reason is that, you know what, I've been hospitalized many times. Well, not many, some. I have a child who had some problems. I go to doctor every year for checkups. My son goes for checkups. I never, ever in my life had a thought cross my mind how I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. Ever, never. There is a problem. You call your doctor.
Now, what about having to wait 6 months to get a cardiac catheterization or
I've
something
I've never
like
heard
that.
Of such a thing.
Yeah.
I had some problems, and I had surgeries right away, checkups right away. And I live in a big city. I live in Toronto, where a couple of million people still live.
Interesting. So there's a lot of competition for it. Marzina, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening to us there in Toronto. I appreciate it. 866-303-2270, TomHartman.com, if you want to drop into our live chat room, the status of healthcare, and the news of the day, coming up next.
Tom Hartman.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Valley's Progressive Talk, streaming live at 1480kphx.com.
The price of gas continues to rise, so does the number of fuel-saving experts. Look, the guys at Advanced Auto Parts aren't scientists inventing hydrogen engines or cellulosic ethanol. They got their PhDs in parts. Stuff like air filters, fuel filters, spark plugs, fuel system cleaners, and other things that make cars run more efficiently. Look, if you really want to save money on gas, go buy a bike. Otherwise, head on over to Advanced Auto Parts. They'll show you how to get more miles per gallon. Whatever you're working on, Advanced will help you keep the wheels turning.
You trust the Wall Street Journal for in-depth news and insightful market coverage. Now you can find top jobs and leading-edge advice from the Wall Street Journal online at wsj.com/careers, a free, comprehensive resource designed to give your career a boost. Learn how to fine-tune your resume, network within your industry, and manage office politics. Whether you're looking for a new job or just want to get ahead in your current job, WSJ Careers helps you take control of your career. Visit wsj.com/careers today.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional, but then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD works in the privacy of your own home. It will give you everything you need to recover and succeed. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our program that if you can find a better alcohol recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-962-0294. That's 1-800-962-0294. 1-800-962-0294.
Tired of cable rates going up and up? Then you need to make the switch to Dish Network. Get more of your favorite channels in pure digital quality for less money than cable. And if you switch now, my friends at My Dish Now will give you a genuine Apple iPod. Plus, you'll get a free upgrade to a high-definition receiver with a built-in digital video recorder that works on two TVs. Your free DVR lets you pause and rewind live TV, skip commercials, and record in HD. And the free professional installation will be done fast, usually within 48 hours. Compared to your cable bill, My Dish Now packages start at under $20 a month. No equipment for you to buy. Installation is free. Your HD TV DVR upgrade, free. A full year subscription to TV Guide magazine, free. And don't forget your Apple iPod thank you gift for test driving Dish Network. Have your credit card handy and schedule your installation right now. Call 1-800-610-7657. This amazing offer won't last long, so don't wait. Call now. 1-800-610-7657. 1-800-610-7657.
Drum roll, please. You're about to make one of the smartest decisions of your life. You're going to get your degree online. It's a fact. People with a degree, on average, make $1 million more in a lifetime. But where are you going to go to school? There are hundreds of online colleges and universities, and thousands of programs to choose from. No worries. Cue the music. Introducing Education Connection. This amazing free service will help you find the right school for you. For free, every day, Education Connection matches students to schools that are perfect for them. Not sure about what to study? Log on to 14educationmatching.com and get a free personality test that can help match you to the right career. This is a $75 value, but it's yours free. So take a minute and go online and learn more about your favorite subject, you. Get a free personality test, a $75 value at 14educationmatching.com. The number 14educationmatching.com. That's 14educationmatching.com.
Now more with Tom Hartman on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
I've been rolling down a hill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should.
All right.
The best of the free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good. Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell.
Sing it with
me. Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the Liberty Bell.
You tell them, Willie.
Let's make a Ford and a Chevy. Would still last 10 years like the should.
I think they're starting to.
'Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come.
The good times ain't over for good.
There you go. 51 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Show. David in Portland, Oregon. Hey, David, what's on your mind?
I think I want to agree with your previous caller about what was said in passing at the end of that conversation you had with that woman from the Independent Women's Group.
Yeah.
I know lots of Canadians, and I've never heard any complaints whatsoever. In fact, they talk about how good their health care is, and they don't understand why we don't get on board.
Yeah, I my experience has been the same, David. I do know a lot of Canadians, and I have yet to hear the complaints. I don't get it. John in Miami. In fact, our producer is a Canadian, Sean Taylor. John in Miami. Hey, John.
Hi, how you doing?
Just great. What's up?
Here you go. Listen, I just wanted to suggest something when it comes to talking to people about the health care issue, specifically talking to conservatives and trying to help them to see the light. A lot of them just have an instinctive, just visceral reaction to the idea of saying the health care is a right. It goes against their worldview.
Yeah.
Just like if you go by the Lackoff theories, they're...
Yeah. John, your phone is breaking up really badly, if you can make your point.
Well, here's the thing. If you call it a right, it gets their backup. But if you say that it is something that the government can rightfully provides or justly provides to help us to secure our rights to life and property and liberty and so forth, such as just as it provides police service or fire service and things like that, I've had it. That works successfully. And
yeah, it makes a lot of sense, John. And in fact, we did a show here on the privatization of fire departments. there was a time in the United States when we had private fire departments, and it didn't work out all that well. And that's a great example of sharing the risk. It's a very good example, in fact. Mickey, a pharmacist in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hey, Mickey.
Hi, Tim.
Tom.
Tom.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Tim, before I say anything, I just got to say, with Tim Russert's passing, I really appreciate your thoughtful conversation with America.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
We're
all going to miss him. There are a lot of things about Tim Russert, a lot of things I disagreed with and a lot of things I agreed with. But by and large, at the bottom line, he was, to all accounts, a very decent guy.
One of the things I wanted to say is, as a pharmacist dealing with a specialized disease state like HIV, I can't tell you how many times I can tell you how many times I've heard somebody pleased with their insurance.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah.
Anybody who's pleased with their insurance is healthy and they don't know any better.
I can tell you, I have pretty decent health care and have... thank God for most of my life, I've had an income that has allowed me to have the top end policy that is available. And now, even with that, right now, if I go to see the doctor, or I have lab tests or whatever, and you do this on a regular basis. See, I don't have any particular health problem that I'm complaining about other than having had pneumonia when I came back from Africa a while ago. Well, that's case in point. I came back from Africa with pneumonia. And first of all, I tried to get a doctor's appointment. They said, come back in a week. And I'm like, I got a fever of 103. I'm barfing so bad I can hardly move. I'm coughing so bad I think I've broken two ribs. I think I have pneumonia. Go to an ER then. And it's like, no, I just need antibiotics.
why is your doctor, why is your pharmacist, why are they all busy? Because they're spending half of their time filling out forms for companies.
That's right.
We're not providing health care anymore. We're filling out forms. And the difficulty is that with all of the different insurance companies, there's 100 different forms, 1,000 different rules.
Right.
You deal with a company like Blue Cross, and you call one number, you're talking to somebody else, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
Right, and from the consumer's point of view, it's even worse. I mean, after I finally, actually I went to ZoomCare, which is a local doc-in-the-box, we'll see you within 15 minutes thing, ZoomCare.com on the web. It's just for Portland, but it's really a cool idea. And the doctor saw me in 15 minutes, he gave me a prescription for the antibiotics, and within 6 hours my fever was down and I was, I was getting better. But when the bill was submitted to the insurance company, sent us about 2 weeks later, sent us a copy of the bill saying, if you don't, and a form to fill out, and said, if you don't fill out this form and send it back to us within 15 days, we will not pay the bill. And I'm sure that what they found is that if they send those things out to 100% of their customers, 10, 20% of their customers are on vacation, they don't get around to it, they think it's junk mail and throw it away.
Or what they do is they pile you, they send you, if you've got a serious medical condition, they send you, you'll get mail practically every other day. So they overwhelm you like the Reagan administration used to do to investigations. They just throw everything at you to the point where you're overwhelmed and you can't see it.
Right.
And here's my argument for health care reform that maybe the Republicans might be able to get on board with. And that is that it's not really been talked about, which is the larger cost of the health care system. They're always talking about, oh, well, you know, the baby doctors, they can't treat the women they love. What was that quote from
yeah,
Bush?
George Bush. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If health care was part of our culture and our society, everything would be paid for. There wouldn't be any need for large liability policies anymore.
Right.
The cost of your automobile insurance, your home insurance, all of those issues would be drastically reduced as well.
Yeah, good point, Mickey. And your health care costs would be cut dramatically, because we know that, you know, 15 to 30% of all health care dollars are just going into the pockets of CEOs and stockholders.
Tom Hartman.
Helping you win the water cooler wars.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
In the bizarro world of neoconservative politics, controlling the message is important, but not as important as taking the truth out for a joyride. In fact, in the neoconservative world, the truth is irrelevant. Up becomes down, heroes become traitors, and drilling for oil becomes exploring for energy. This is the core of Cracking the Code, the new book by Tom Hartman. In Cracking the Code, How to Win Hearts, Change Minds, and Restore America's Original Vision, Air America radio host Tom Hartman explains the art and science of political persuasion and how the brain processes fear and emotion, the right wing's messages of choice. Cracking the Code exposes how right-wing politicians recreate reality, spinning the truth to suit their agenda. But best of all, this book shows progressives how to tackle the propaganda head-on, how to push back against illogical logic, and how to effectively communicate the truth. Once you realize torture is now called enhanced interrogation, when the surge is indeed an escalation, and this endless occupation is being labeled a war, now you're cracking the code. Get Cracking the Code by Tom Hartman. Available at bookstores everywhere.
Hi, I'm Dr. Myron Licht, host of Free to Be Healthy, my new talk show on Saturdays at noon. Please make an appointment to join me so we can discuss ways to restore your health all for free. Did you know you're free to be healthy if you choose to be? That's Free to Be Healthy Saturdays at noon right here on 1480 KPHX.
Hey, Jeff Farias here. Are you hot enough yet? Are you still putting off getting your AC checked? Well, don't wait any longer. Call Parker & Sons. Parker won the BBB Torch Award for business ethics, so I know I can trust them. And right now, Parker offers an AC tune-up for only $69, a $30 savings. Great, trustworthy service at a fair price. How can you go wrong? Do what I did. Call Parker & Sons at 602-2-REPAIR. That's 602, the number 2, then R-E-P-A-I-R. For Parker & Sons.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Keplate. The number of people losing jobs is on the rise. For the sixth month in a row, businesses cut their payrolls, this time by 62,000 jobs. This is the AP's James Limbach.
There were heavy job losses in construction, manufacturing, and financial services, along with cutbacks in retailing. The Labor Department notes that, on the other hand, education and health services, leisure and hospitality, and government all added payroll positions.
Well, despite the business belt tightening, the unemployment rate still is at 5.5%. The report on jobs was just about what had been expected, and on Wall Street, the Dow is now trading at about 73 points on the upside. Oil is also trading more than $144 a barrel. The death penalty is now on the table for a man in Vermont charged in the kidnapping of his niece, 12-year-old Brooke Bennett. Meanwhile, the Vermont Attorney General, William Sorrell, says his investigators are still trying to get to the bottom of reports that William Jakes and others might have been involved in a sex ring.
There's nothing from this investigation that's been turned up, nor otherwise are federal and state authorities aware of any ongoing efforts to recruit young girls or boys here in Vermont to have sex with adults.
There was a welcome home today for Americans released in Colombia and praise for the operation from President Bush.
The president says confirmation that disguised Colombian commandos had tricked left-wing guerrillas into handing over the hostages came in a phone call from President Alvaro Uribe.
I told him what a joyous occasion it must be to know that the plan had worked, that people who were unjustly held are now free to be with their families.
Officials acknowledge U.S. help in developing that rescue plan and confirm Bush had advanced knowledge. But Press Secretary Dana Perino calls this a Colombian operation and says Uribe's government should get the credit. Mark Smith at the White House.
And this is AP Radio News. Concern over contaminated tomatoes and other problems with food has the Center for Science in the Public Interest calling for more checks on the nation's food supply.
FDA needs to go beyond country of origin labeling and give public health officials the ability to trace produce from the farm all the way to the consumer.
The group wants the FDA to require producers to have written safety standards. America has 50 new citizens today. There was a special ceremony to swear in them in Washington today. They got to hear from President Bush in a videotaped message.
Attaining citizenship is a defining event in your life. Today, the United States is not only your home, it is your country.
This could be a rough 4th of July weekend in Big Sur, California. Much of that town has now been evacuated because of a massive wildfire nearby. The fire is not expected to be fully surrounded till the end of the month. I'm Diane Kepley, AP Radio News.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org.
1480 KPHX. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. Forget everything you thought you knew about talk radio. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Do you still owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? Still? Okay, one more time. This is Rich Boggs again, founder and CEO of Nationwide Tax Relief. I run one of the largest tax relief firms in the country. If you are still suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. We just saved a business owner in Kentucky $2.9 million in penalties, a landmark settlement, and we just helped a single mom in New York. IRS was levying her bank account and her wages, and we lifted both levies in 72 hours. Yeah, happy client. If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, call Nationwide. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 800-227-1992. That's 800-227-1992. Call 800-227-1992.
Are you sick of having lots of hot air blowing at you? Keep your cool. Call North Valley Mechanical, your Air Force. North Valley Mechanical is locally owned and operated by veterans with over 30 years' experience in the field and can repair and replace any air conditioner. If North Valley Mechanical can't fix it, it can't be fixed. Call North Valley Mechanical today and ask about a high-efficiency American Standard system at 480-538-9184. Call North Valley Mechanical, your Air Force, at 480-538-9184. Or at NorthValleyMechanical.com.
1130 The Restaurant in the Arizona Center, 3rd Street in Van Buren, offers the finest in contemporary dining pleasure and has just what you need to satisfy any appetite. From steak and ribs to seafood and delightful salads. Five-star dining at prices you can live with. 1130 The Restaurant, open for lunch, dinner, and special engagements. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 with daily drink specials. Parking is free with validation every day at 1130 The Restaurant.
Stephanie Miller.
I bought Obama.
he did not flip-flop. As your secret lover, Randy Rhodes, mentioned in her book, I did not
what?
Know this.
I must have been drunk this weekend.
Do not deny that.
You got me. Go ahead.
You, Michael Loy, and Randy. Oh, my God.
All right. One, listen.
A threesome.
One threesome one time does not a relationship make.
I had to ruin the fantasy with Mike Malone.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Early weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1480 KPHX.
Tom Hartman.
This is the Tom Hartman program. Live and exclusively on the Valley's Progressive Talk. 1480 KPHX.
A couple of things here. By the way, our quote for the day, cats, this is from Jeff Valdez. Cats are smarter than dogs. You can't get 8 cats to pull a sled through the snow. Well said. By the way, we have new videos up over at TomHartman.com. One is the Beware of Higgins video. Another is Ralph Reed and I. This is where I asked him if he felt that as a Christian and as a conservative, he should be seeking repentance for all the death and bloodshed in Iraq. It's very interesting. And also I'd like to just toss out to say to all of the gay couples who are getting married in California right now, it's in the news, it's all over, and it's happening, that as a guy who has been married to the same person for 35 years, welcome to the institution of marriage. I think it's a fine thing, and I think it's absolutely wonderful that we can welcome into the family of Americans, of married Americans, which is not to say there's anything wrong with being single Americans, but nonetheless, welcome to the family of married Americans to gay couples in California. We've been talking, in the last hour, we've been talking about oil. And Congressman Peter DeFazio coming on pointing out that, in fact, I gave that study to you, Louise, I need it back, pointing out that there's over 10,000, thank you, Sean, over 10,000 drilling permits that the oil companies are sitting on, that they're not using on these lands. Of the 28,700 permits that were issued between 1999 and 2007, only 18,000 wells, 954 wells were actually drilled. These are all permits. The reason that it got to the permit level is that they know that there's oil under the ground. These are all that means that the oil companies, this from the Committee on Natural Resources, the majority staff report, The Truth About America's Energy, Big Oil Stockpile Supplies and Pockets Profits, that means that oil companies have stockpiled nearly 10,000 extra permits to drill that they are not using to increase domestic production. Of the 47.5 million acres of federal lands that are currently being leased by oil and gas companies, only about 13 million acres are actually in production. And offshore, they have 44 million acres leased. They're only producing out of 10 million, and they have the legal right to drill right now into the additional 33 million. What this is all about, what this whole Gingrich Republican thing is all about, is giving the oil companies more leases and more drilling permits when they're not using the ones that they have right now. It's using a crisis to increase their profits and their bottom line, in my opinion. Terry Jeffrey is with us. He's the editor-in-chief of CNSNews.com. And, Terry, you've heard my pitch. Your take on it?
Well, I think I can offer an explanation for some of that. I can't specifically say what each one of those leases are, but I would refer people to a report that the Bureau of Land Management put out just last month. I'm looking at it right now on my computer. I downloaded the PDF a couple weeks ago. We've done a lot of reporting on it. It's called Inventory of Onshore Federal Oil and Natural Gas Resources and Restrictions to Their Development. It was produced by the Department of Interior as a result of the Energy Policy Act of 2005. But, Tom, what it says in short is that even the land that is leasable for oil in the United States and some of the places where these leases are, oil companies cannot effectively drill because of a multitude, mostly of environmental regulations.
Right, but that's leasable. What about the 33 million acres that they already have leased
and
what about the 10,000 drilling permits that they have that they're not using?
Right. Well, let me offer. I can't specifically address these particular drilling leases. But what this report says is that even on the land that is leasable and presumably where there are leases, environmental regulations, sometimes that are very specific to a particular place.
These 33 million leased acres are leased for exploration. It's already been licensed.
I understand
it's ready to go.
Wait a minute. But here's an explanation for what people can look
at. There's 33 million acres offshore, by the way. It's 44 million acres onshore.
Okay, but let me answer your question. This report put out by the BLM last month points out that even though this land is leasable, much of the leasable land, and there are land that has been leased, cannot be drilled because in practical terms what needs to be done to actually drill the oil cannot be done because it runs afoul of one or another federal regulation or law, most of those laws and regulations involving the environment.
Yeah,
people want
like...
to know the details, they can read the report because every single region in the United States where there's oil, this report goes detail by detail by detail and shows the law and regulation in that.
Well, of course, we want to protect our environment, but you're talking about bananas while I'm talking about apples, Terry. I'm talking about leases that have been granted,
right.
Permits that have been given for drilling. The federal government has said go for it. For example, what used to be called the Naval Petroleum Reserve up in Alaska.
Right.
It's now referred to as the Federal Reserve. It's 13.5 billion with a B, barrels of oil, known to exist there.
Right.
It's already been leased to the oil companies. They were given permits to drill. They drilled. They already have, and they capped the wells. They have been sitting on this stuff since the first Bush administration, not because anybody told them to, but because they have chosen not to pump that oil. The infrastructure is there. They could get it to shore, or they could get it to the coast and put it into tankers. They could be bringing it down to the north, to the rest of North America. They're choosing not to do so. They're not explaining why they're choosing not to do so, but we're talking about 13 billion barrels of oil that's already got a straw sticking out of it.
Right. Well, I can't address why that particular company is not drilling in that particular area. I would guess that is not profitable for them. I will tell you wait a minute, the same BLM report, anybody can look it up on the Internet and read it themselves. It says, according to the official estimate of the Department of Interior, they say there's 139 billion barrels of what they call undiscovered, technically recoverable oil in the United States. This is oil that with our current technology we could go get, that through reasonable science they believe is there. Most of it, 85.9 billion barrels, is offshore. Tom, that is more oil than Iran has. It's more oil than Iraq has.
I understand that, but you're talking about things like oil shale and things like that.
No,
recoverable.
No,
I'm talking about actual oil that we know is in the ground right now.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. This is not shale oil. This is regular oil. This is the kind of oil they're pumping out of existing oil wells in the United States that can be recovered, according to the Department of Interior, with current technology.
Okay, what you're saying is that what you're identifying, Terry, is all that oil that the oil companies want to add to their portfolio right now, using this crisis as the rationale, and then they won't drill it anyway because they're not drilling the stuff they have.
That's you and me. Maybe you have some wealthy listeners out there. Why don't they invest in you and me? You and me will start an oil company. We'll convince these bozos and the government to let us go out there and drill it, and you and me will make money. If Exxon and Mobil, if the big oil companies don't want to do it, I'll do it.
There's a bunch of small oil companies that are out there as well, Apache and others, and I mean, it's not just the big ones, but they're all playing basically the same game. I mean, the people in this industry know what's going on. They're not dummies.
Well, look, people can read the government's own report. This was something that was done at the behest of Congress. It's gotten very little attention, and it is just a fact that most of this oil cannot be drilled let me give you a specific example of the sort of thing they say. Okay, there's some places where there's oil under federal land. Leasing is allowed, but you can only work on the surface of the land for 3 months because of the Endangered Species Act. Or you can't even disturb the surface of the land because of the environmental regulations.
Yeah.
But you can buy a lease.
Again, you're talking about the banana, I'm talking about the apple. But, you know, and I think that it's a good thing, by the way, that that's the case. We want to protect this planet upon which we live and the web of life that we're a part of. But let's, at least in my opinion, I know you're disagreeing with that, but in the couple minutes we have left, and maybe we can carry this over the break, I wanted to get into this article that you wrote because I thought that this was great. It's titled "The Threat to the Car," by Terrence Jeffrey. We're talking with Terrence Jeffrey, the editor-in-chief at CNSnews.com. And you say, some liberals would like to use government to force Americans out of their cars. They believe in socialized transportation, not free market transportation. In a free market transportation system, a person purchases his own vehicle with his own money, buys his own gas with his own money, and can drive his vehicle anywhere there is a road. I think you missed a word in there, Terry. Can drive his vehicle anywhere there is a socialist road.
Mm-hmm.
Our highway system is socialist.
Well, listen, I think
it's the only thing that makes it possible for you to have this, what you call a free market car system.
Well, you know what, and I do concede that point in my column that these roads are generally paid for by the government, and I concede that, and I would say, look, you know, as long as there's a net balance between the taxes that are taken from drivers to pay for roads and bridges and the amount of money that's paid to build roads and bridges, that's fine with me.
So you are in favor of socialism?
Well, to that extent, yes. I think that is a social compact we've made in the United States. And my point
then why are you opposed to public transportation?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because another thing I point out in my column is that when you own your own car and you can put your own gas in it, and we have this massive system of roads that we, with our gas taxes and other taxes, have built, we have the freedom to go where we want.
Our socialist road system has given us that freedom. Terry, let's continue this conversation after the break. We're talking with Terry. If that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay, great. We're talking to Terry Jeffrey. He's the editor-in-chief at CNSNews.com. The threat to the car. You can read Terry's piece over at CNSNews.com. Are we going to continue to be a socialist nation on our roads? I think it's a great question. 16 minutes past the hour. Stick around.
The Tom Hartman Program.
Truth in Broadcasting.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Stephanie Miller at 6 a.m., Tom Hartman at 9, weekday mornings on 1480 KPHX.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and now I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. As you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM too, 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The USA has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations don't even want to take the American dollar today. So I hope you're listening when I tell you that you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to help you get started. It's really simple. Call and talk to their experts at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Hey, Truth Seekers, here's what happened after Kathy and I had some coffee from superbeans.com. You follow up a good meal with good coffee from superbeans.com. I got to say, Kathy, it's the best coffee I've ever tasted in my entire life. I'm sorry. Free plugs. I don't care.
Look, I'm not going to get upset tonight. I really am not. I'm going to sit here and drink my Kona Pea Berry Dark Roast coffee from Superbeans and just say to hell with it. You know, we'll just talk about it tonight. This is great coffee. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, this stuff, it's like drinking liquid heaven or something. It's as great. Bucky would say in the cartoons, this must be what angels taste like. it's wonderful stuff.
If you haven't gone to this guy's website, shame on you. Do it. Do it. Go there. Superbeans.com. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Well, with testimonials like that, how can you stop yourselves? Great coffee from Hawaii and around the world. Progressively yours from superbeans.com.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I'm an 8-year breast cancer survivor, but it almost wasn't that way. I never seemed to have time to get my mammogram. I had no family history of breast cancer, so when I found a tiny lump in my right breast, I was terrified. Fortunately, I found Arizona BreastNet. The doctors and staff at BreastNet specialize exclusively in breast health, and we caught my cancer early. Their state-of-the-art digital mammography and all-female staff make every appointment easy and comfortable. And because every woman gets results at the time of her appointment, I didn't spend time worrying and waiting for the phone to ring. When my daughter turns 30, I'll send her to BreastNet for a baseline mammogram. It's going to be important because, unlike me, she can't say there's no history of breast cancer in her family. Call Arizona BreastNet today at 480-314-7600 or go to azbreastnet.com. I'm alive today because of early detection, and there's no one better or more dedicated to your breast health than the doctors at Arizona BreastNet.
Listening to the radio, it's a daily activity for many people, right? But what if you couldn't listen to the radio, hear everyday conversations, or recognize voices of loved ones? Hearing loss is a common, preventable condition in the U.S., and it doesn't just affect the elderly. Protect your hearing. For more information on hearing loss and referrals to an otolaryngologist, the only medical doctor specifically trained to treat the ear, nose, throat, head, and neck, visit www.arizonabreastnet.com. entdoctors.org. A message from the American Academy of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery.
Local economies are strong economies. Hi, this is Jeff Farias. I live and work here in the Valley, just like you, and where I spend my money matters to me. 1480 KPHX offers locally owned businesses the effective advertising platform they need to compete against the corporate chain stores. Local media connecting local businesses with local customers. Keep Progressive Talk going strong and keep more of your dollars right here in town. Visit the sponsor directory at 1480kphx.com.
Randy Rhodes is next at noon, then Jeff Farias at 3 p.m. This is 1480 KPHX.
Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's napkins in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening, nothing going on. There's always something cooking, nothing in the pot. They're starting back in China, so finish what you got. Nobody told me there'd be days like these.
Ah, yes. Well, let me tell you, there's going to be days like these. Oh man, all the strange stories out there. Oh, it's the liberals who are trying to take your gas away. No, sorry. 30 years of Reaganomics and George Bush is destroying the infrastructure of this country. Speaking of the infrastructure of this country, Terry Jeffrey with us, the editor-in-chief of CNSnews.com. Terry, you've acknowledged in your article and in our conversation that if we didn't have a socialized highway system, people wouldn't have the so-called free market freedom to drive their car. We also have a socialized economic system in as much as the government is stabilizing our and providing us with a stable currency system, to the money that you'd use to buy the car, that the government is involved in whether the cars are going to produce pollution that kills people and whether they're designed to be safe. I mean, at what point do you, and people can drive the car because they can read because they got a socialist education in a free public school system?
I didn't get a socialist education.
I will resist the urge to make a smart aleck remark here. No, actually, you're a very smart guy, Terry, and I acknowledge that. And in fact, two of my three kids didn't altogether. You know, we had one that we homeschooled and one that went to a private school. So I've seen all three of them. But in any case, you're suggesting that we should go to a totally non-socialist, free market transportation system, and you're trashing. It seems to me that the main point for your trashing public transport, you know, the buses and subways and trains and things, is that they limit freedom of choice. And I'm wondering, have you ever traveled around in Europe?
Yeah, I have, as a matter of fact. But look, I take your point, Tom. I'm not an anarchist and I'm not a libertarian. And I understand that there's a certain amount of collective activity we engage in here, so we have our modern transportation system with paved highways and cars that we can drive on. Once upon a time, people used to wander around the countryside in horses. We don't do that anymore. But I think there's a couple of places where it balances. First is just one in what the Constitution says and limits on government. That's not so crucial here. I think what's more crucial here is, for me as a conservative and someone who believes individual liberty is, in fact, one of the things at the core of what America's all about, it's always a question of dependence and independence. And I think we want to the degree it's practically possible, maximize individual independence without stomping on other people's rights, without doing things that are immoral, and minimize government dependence. And I do see a trend in American society to force people to be dependent on the government for their movement. Once upon a time, not so long ago, I think the left in this country resisted that. If you look at cultural icons of the left in the 50s and 60s, there are people like Jack Kerouac, who wrote On the Road, who was driving around with Dean Moriarty, Neil Cassidy, all around the country in cars.
Yep.
In the 1960s, you had rock and roll celebrating the car, and we're talking about every kind of rock and roll. You had Ken Kesey in his bus, and it was a privately owned bus that went where he wanted to go. It seems to me that that independence and that mobility and that freedom of movement is built into the American soul. And there is an element in our culture and our politics that wants to take it out.
Well, Terry, I will acknowledge, I'll agree with you, and to a certain extent, and acknowledge that there is that Davy Crockett, you know, I've got mine, I'm going to toss on my coonskin cap and take my gun and go out and carve a new life out of the American wilderness. But the reality is that most of the framers of the Constitution, the founders of this country, were far more communalists than they were libertarians. I mean, the whole idea of creating this country was for the public good. It wasn't for the individual. I mean, it was certainly they were celebrators of individual rights and individual liberties. But you can't have individual rights and liberties if the public is unstable. I mean, that was the big point that they made. It was like Franklin Roosevelt in his 36 renomination speech in Philadelphia. He quoted an old English judge once said, "A necessitous man is not a free man. You're not free if you're hungry. You're not free if you're afraid that one illness is going to kill you. You're not free if you can't hop on a public bus and get to work if you can't afford a car."
Well, there's a little too much materialism in your analysis for me, but I'm not a libertarian, as I said, and I think true conservatives believe in ordered liberty, and that, you know, we believe in a level of government that is prudent for the protection of liberty, and I don't think people should be able to go.
But you're essentially calling for doing away with public transportation here.
No, I'm not calling for doing away with public transportation. I think it should pay for itself, and I definitely think that there is a movement, and you can see it around Washington D.C., where government is willfully and with a strategy attempting to drive people out of their cars and put them in public transportation. Let me give you a scenario, Tom. I was in Washington D.C. on September 11, 2001, and I found a clever way out of town, and I was able to go pick up some of my kids. My wife was able to get in another car, go to another school, and pick up our kids. I would not want to be in Washington, D.C., dependent on government transportation if there were another terrorist attack. I'd want my own transportation, and I want to be ready to go where I want to go.
So you'd want to be on the roads that are clogged up and choked up and nobody's moving. Well, I mean, if there was a real disaster,
I might have a better strategy for getting out than another guy. For protecting my family than another guy.
Okay, it's an interesting debate. Terry, I'm sorry, we got to wrap up. CNSnews.com is his website.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Call Tom at 866-303-2270. Randy Rhodes at noon. Jeff Farias at 3. Weekday afternoons on 1480 KPHX.
You know, not too long ago, I found a leak in my roof, and I got a few estimates from roofing companies in the area. I decided on Dry Fit Roofing for the job. They began by removing the deck on top of my roof. Then they repaired the leak and quickly rebuilt the deck. But 6 weeks later, the leak that they fixed wasn't fixed. So Dry Fit came back to take another look. Only I wasn't home, but they went ahead and removed the deck again anyway, and then replaced another portion of the roof. The wrong portion. So, of course, I called them, and called them, and called them. But I still haven't heard back from Dry Fit Roofing. At the end of the day, it cost me $4,000 for a leaky roof and a destroyed deck.
Find thousands of unbiased reports and reviews from people in your area on Angie's List. Our members share their experiences with each other so that you can choose the service company that's right for your job the first time around. Borrow some experience at AngiesList.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here, and now I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. As you know, gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You should call ITM, too. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but trust me, the dollar's future is already baked into the cake. The USA has gone from a creditor nation in the 70s to the largest debtor nation the world has ever known. That's why some nations don't even want to take the American dollar today. So I hope you're listening when I tell you that you should call my friends at ITM Trading and get some gold today. Your long-term financial future may depend on it. Talk to the experts at ITM Trading. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to help you get started. It's really simple. Call and talk to their experts at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
This is the Valley's Progressive Talk. 1480 KPHX.
Economic strain. I'm Ed Donahue. The government says 62,000 jobs were lost in June. The unemployment rate held steady, 5.5%. Oil prices hit a new record high. This is energy analyst Damien Cox.
Prevailing market view is that prices are likely to rise, continue rising over the next few weeks.
In Vermont, Michael Jakes is facing federal kidnapping charges. He could be sentenced to death or life in prison if convicted. The body of Jake's 12-year-old niece was found on his property. William Sorrell is Vermont's attorney general.
A terrible crime of this sort, involving the senseless death of one so young, truly wounds us all.
President Bush was at today's groundbreaking at the new Walter Reed National Military Center.
In this new war, giving our troops the care they deserve requires cutting-edge medical facilities. And that is what this new medical center will provide.
For the third time, Serena Williams will play Venus Williams in the women's final at Wimbledon. It'll happen Saturday. Serena Williams was an easy winner today in the semifinals. Wall Street, the Dow finished up 73 points. I'm Ed Donahue.
Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Jeff Farias, and Mike Malloy. The cure for the corporate radio blues. This is the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Hi, this is Carrie with Camelview Accounting Services. For years, I have been helping small to medium-sized businesses with their bookkeeping. As an expert in QuickBooks, office setups, organization, and maintenance, I pride myself on being fast and efficient. Services include, but are not limited to, monthly financials, payroll, payroll taxes, real property, and sales tax returns. Even if you do business in multiple states and have large payrolls. In just a few weeks, I'll have you up and running. And for as little as 4 hours per month, your bookkeeping will stay on track. You won't have to hire a full-time bookkeeper. And when tax time rolls around, you will have a complete package without the worry to take to your CPA. For a full line of services, please visit my website at camelviewaccounting.biz or call me right now at 480-946-2484. That's 480-946-2484.
I'm here with Brush Lintball to tell you about democraticmatch.com.
This is the old Brusho, Brush Lintball. Ever wonder why there wasn't a dating site devoted to Democrats? After all, no one wants to date a right-wing wacko.
DemocraticMatch.com is a dating site made specifically for Democrats and other progressive individuals who want to date those with similar worldviews. Right, Brush?
Take it from me, folks. Democrats are smarter. Democrats are more evolved. Democrats are more fun. Democrats make better lovers. Democrats have better hearts.
This is your chance to actually meet the other people who cherish the principles of our democracy, believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in protecting our incredible planet. In short, DemocraticMatch.com gives you the opportunity to meet a real soulmate. So what have you got to lose? Sign up today at democraticmatch.com.
You really would be a wacko if you didn't sign up today. So write this down, folks. www, that's wacko, wacko, wacko.
democraticmatch.com.
The Mike Malloy Show.
This is astonishing. Astonishing. Pickle says he's made the very tough decisions that I think people would want their leader to make, and I know Americans appreciate.
Will somebody tell her that her husband's approval rating is approaching single digits? What? How many Valiums did this woman take?
The Mike Malloy Show, weeknights from 6 to 9 on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX. Back to the Tom Hartman Program, live on the Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX.
Minutes past the hour. Isn't it sweet? Michelle Obama, she's on The View. She says, I'd like to be greeted properly. Fist bumps all around. Ah, that's great. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. If you'd like to participate in our blog, our live chat, you'll find links both at TomHartman.com and AirAmerica.com. Bruce in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I was thinking your last gentleman on the phone,
Terry Jeffrey,
should grab his little car and find his own little private island and invite a bunch of his friends. It seems like that kind of individualism doesn't really contribute to any real solution, you know?
Well, I think this is the fundamental cleavage between the liberal and conservative worldview, and Michael Moore said it so brilliantly in his movie Sicko, where there was that moment in the movie toward the end where he turned to the camera and he said, ultimately, and I'm paraphrasing from memory here, but I think this is pretty much what he said. He said, ultimately, we all have to collectively decide, are we a we society or a me society?
Exactly.
And thank you, Bruce. And I would submit that the me society mentality, which is grounded in Reagan conservatism, the me society mentality is what is destroying this country. John in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hey, John.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show.
Bruce kind of summed it up for me. I was going to comment on Terry Jeffries. I see him on CNN all the time, and it's that every man for himself mentality. They always bring up the disaster scenario too. You know, that he won't be able to. You know, he won't be able to get out of town or anything, or the Jack Bauer 24 yeah. mentality, where we have to torture to get the information.
Right. But here's the question, and Terry's not here, and so I don't want to pick on him, and B, I don't want to ask him questions when he's not here. But I think the question largely that we have to ask as a nation, you know, if we're going to come together as a nation, which is one of the stated goals of Barack Obama's candidacy, if we're going to bring America back together and start healing the wounds that really began with Nixon, as we learned yesterday with the author of Nixonland, that of the intentional tearing apart of America, when Roger Ailes was first hired to make Richard Nixon seem more likable and all that kind of stuff. If we're going to heal the wounds of the Roger Ailesness, how do we bring together both sides of that discussion? I mean, here Terry is saying, yeah, okay, I'll acknowledge that the highway system is socialist, and yet his argument is that without the highway system, he can't have freedom. And that's my point. And so I think that at a certain level, we're saying the same thing. We're just saying it in different ways. And there has to be a way to bridge that gap so that Americans get it, that we have to have both individual liberties and freedoms on the one hand and what Terry calls socialism, that is a community, the web of society, of culture, that underpins and supports us and that catches us when we fall, when we become very, very ill or lose our jobs or have disasters befall us.
Right. Well, I'm a social studies teacher here in Ann Arbor, and I really enjoy you talking about the commons.
Yeah.
I try and instill that, when I teach civics classes or history classes or anything like that. I try and teach my students to be citizens instead of employees or consumers or anything like that.
Yeah.
That idea of the commons and the common good as stated in the Constitution has really been lost in our society, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, very well said. John, thank you very much, and thanks for teaching really important stuff. That's great that you're out there doing it. God bless you. I mean, that's wonderful. Calvin in Washington, D.C. Hey, Calvin.
Hi, I just wanted to respond to the previous guest. I actually, as you mentioned, I live in Washington, D.C., and he talks about 9/11. We have, in Washington, you've been here. I was here for your Green Convention thing last year.
Oh, great.
And you probably saw our metro.
Over the last 30 years, I've probably spent in aggregate 6 months in Washington, D.C. I've used the metro a lot.
Okay. Well, for the national listeners who don't know what it is, it's a modern subway system. It goes across the entire region, has arms out into the suburbs, and it has roughly 750,000 riders a day.
Right, and it covers two states plus the District of Columbia.
Yeah, and so for this previous guest to sit there and talk about Washington and how he wants his car, we don't have highways in Washington. They were canceled by our forebears so we could have a metro, and our city is a much, much better place because of it. In Washington, you can walk around. You can walk around all hours of the night, most neighborhoods, feel safe, and go hop on the metro and get around. You're not shackled to paying $4 a gallon. You're not shackled to paying $15 a day for parking. You're not shackled to sitting in traffic. His entire concept of freedom is this crazy GM-inspired mid-century fantasy. To me personally, I use the metro, I use the bus every single day because I don't like being shackled to $4 a gallon gasoline.
Right. I guess the question is, are the people in Los Angeles who don't have a functioning public transportation system, because it was bought up by Firestone and GM back in the 20s and destroyed,
right.
Are the people in L.A. freer and happier with regard to transportation than the people in Washington, D.C. or in Manhattan, where there's also an excellent public transportation system under the roads, under the highways, under the city that was put into place back in the 19th century.
Well, New York's a perfectly good example, too. New York rejected most of their freeways and instead chose to, in years later, beefed up the subway system. And the reason why is because if you have freeways slicing through everything, you can't have any sort of walkable town. You're stuck in pollution. No one wants to live next to a freeway. And it just basically salts the earth in terms of livable human communities. So this entire car thing, it was a wonderful idea in 1948 when we were coming out of World War II and needed a way to put people to work. But I think that the horse left the barn, you know, a good 10 years ago,
well,
and now
it's
we're
also
just sending our dollars out of the country to the Middle East.
Yeah, and it's also a wonderful thing in many parts of the country where you really seriously do have to drive a half hour to get to the next community. And, you know, there are, I mean, even in Europe, I lived in rural Germany for a year, and there are a lot of communities that you just can't get to by train or places that you really do need a car. And that's why we need to be looking at, you know, hydrogen fuel that is where the hydrogen is created from electrolysis of water using solar power or wind power or electric cars, things like that. I mean, there have to be those options, but they ultimately, I think, need to be the less common rather than the more common. Well said, Calvin. Thank you very much for the call. I truly appreciate it. Richard, New York City. Hey, Richard.
Hi. I was in New York. I was in Washington, D.C. on September 11, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And on the next day, I had to come to New York. My city needed me, you know.
Yeah.
And I hopped on Amtrak. It was running. It was.
Yeah.
There were very few people on it. About 25% of the seats were occupied.
Yeah.
And
it's fast. It's efficient. It's clean. And you know,
that's
absolutely.
How they should have gotten the victims of Katrina out of New Orleans. There's a train that goes train line that goes directly from New Orleans to Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think that part of that was destroyed, but good point, Richard. Thank you very much. And the other hidden cost, and this is something that I think is really worth pointing out, we think we're paying $4 a gallon for gasoline. We're actually paying $10 a gallon for gasoline or more, because where there's an additional $4 a gallon that you're paying in your federal income taxes to pay for the military protection of the transportation and refinery of oil all around the world that ends up in the tank of your gas, that ends up in that gallon of gasoline. So there's an additional $4 that we spend on military infrastructure per gallon of gas, and there's an additional at least $2 to $3 a gallon that we are all paying in added health insurance costs and health costs and loss of productivity to society as a consequence of all the cancers people get and other diseases, asthma and other diseases that are associated with the overuse of cars, the burning of fossil fuels into our atmosphere. So, anyhow, we need to keep that in mind. Sarah in Los Angeles, listening to K-Talk. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
I live in Los Angeles and I have to drive and I have to commute every day. And it's horrible. I feel shackled to my car. I hate making a car payment. I hate paying for insurance. I hate paying for the gas. I've lived in Seattle previously where it has a great transportation system. You can get on the bus every day. You can walk everywhere. You can have a car if you want to get out of the city, but you don't need it to live in the city. And I felt more free as an individual when I lived in Seattle, when I could jump on the bus or I could walk to, you know, everywhere.
Like, so your experience... Your experience is that socialist transportation systems produce greater freedom. I mean, here in Portland, we have a very, very advanced public transportation system. And if you're just moving within the city center, within the downtown area, you don't even have to pay. It's free.
Right.
I mean, although they're having some problems with that, you know, with folks just kind of basically living on the train. So they're thinking of charging a perfunctory rate. But nonetheless, the point is, I think that I agree with you that public transportation. Thank you, Sarah, for the call. Public transportation enhances freedom, doesn't reduce it. So what are we going to do about transportation? What are we going to do about oil? What are we going to do about all this stuff? Jeremy in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to get your ideas about a suggestion that I have, and that's a windfall profits tax with an exemption for those oil companies that go into these reserves that they're just sitting on. I think that that would do well in Congress because the Republicans would have a really hard time standing up and saying, well, no, we don't want to do this. And it would strike a strong blow at Bush's use of the bully pulpit today.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Jeremy. Here's the balance that we need to keep in mind. On the one hand, I mean, the first hour of our show today, we talked about how the oil companies are manipulating the price and value of oil, the availability of oil, keeping oil off the market, increasing their stockpiles, thus increasing their assets, their under the ground assets, and saying, you know, hey, look, we're more profitable, we've got more oil, our stock prices are going up, our executives make more money, on the one hand. And on the other hand, and therefore saying, well, maybe we should have them drill that oil, because that would reduce the price of oil. But then on the other hand, do we really want all that oil drilled? Do we really want all that carbon dioxide pumped into the atmosphere? Do we really want to melt down the planet? I don't think so. There's a balancing act here.
Tom Hartman.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mike Malloy at 6 p.m., Rachel Maddow at 9, weeknights on 1480 KPHX.
If you thought George Bush was bad when it comes to the use of military force, wait till you see John McCain. So says a big-time Washington insider in The Nation magazine. Want a chilling insight into the soul of the hot-headed warrior who openly warns America?
I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars.
I'm sorry to tell you, there's going to be other wars? You better get The Nation. It's easy. You can sample 4 issues absolutely free. Call 800-999-6863. That's 800-999-6863. Or go to readthenation.com. After 4 weeks, you'll know why The Nation is America's widest read weekly journal of opinion. Editor Katrina Vandenhuvel, John Nichols, Robert Dreyfus, and more take you where the mainstream press will not go. 4 weeks of The Nation free. Then get 20 more weeks, that's 6 months in all, for just $13.95. Or write no thanks on the invoice. Call 800-999-6863. That's 800-999-6863. Or go to readthenation.com.
Being called a loser means you may be our winner. And being our winner dumps $1,000 in your pocket. Log on to 365dietchallenge.com and take the free diet challenge. We're looking for the fittest, fastest weight loss story. If we feature yours, you'll win $1,000 in cash and your picture featured on our website. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com today to register for your sample package of Impact Diet products and enter to win $1,000. Your free sample package from 365freedietchallenge.com also comes with personal weight loss coaching to help you meet your diet goals. Pay only a shipping and handling charge to have your free samples rushed out. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com. Challenge.com, and you could be telling all your friends, I'm a winner. Again, this offer is good for this month only. Lose weight and enter to be our $1,000 winner and featured on our website. Visit 365freedietchallenge.com. That's 365freedietchallenge.com. Shipping and handling fees may apply.
Tired of cable rates going up and up? Then you need to make the switch to Dish Network. Get more of your favorite channels in pure digital quality for less money than cable. And if you switch now, my friends at My Dish Now will give you a genuine Apple iPod. Plus, you'll get a free upgrade to a high-definition receiver with a built-in digital video recorder that works on 2 TVs. Your free DVR lets you pause and rewind live TV, skip commercials, and record in HD. And the free professional installation will be done fast, usually within 48 hours. Compared to your cable bill, My Dish Now packages start at under $20 a month. No equipment for you to buy. Installation is free. Your HD TV DVR upgrade, free. A full year subscription to TV Guide magazine, free. And don't forget your Apple iPod thank you gift for test driving Dish Network. Have your credit card handy and schedule your installation right now. Call 1-800-610-7657. This amazing offer won't last long, so don't wait. Call now. 1-800-610-7657. 1-800-610-7657.
Drum roll, please. You're about to make one of the smartest decisions of your life. You're going to get your degree online. It's a fact. People with a degree, on average, make $1 million more in a lifetime. But where are you going to go to school? There are hundreds of online colleges and universities, and thousands of programs to choose from. No worries. Cue the music. Introducing Education Connection. This amazing free service will help you find the right school for you. For free, every day, Education Connection matches students to schools that are perfect for them. Not sure about what to study? Log on to 14educationmatching.com and get a free personality test that can help match you to the right career. This is a $75 value, but it's yours free. So take a minute and go online and learn more about your favorite subject. You.
Hallelujah.
get a free personality test, a $75 value at 14educationmatching.com. The number 14educationmatching.com. That's 14educationmatching.com.
The Randy Rhoads Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 1480 KPHX.
Oh, brother, I can't get through. I've been trying hard to reach you, 'cause I don't know what to do. I'm so scared about the future, and I wanna talk to you. Oh, I wanna talk to you.
Oh, don't be scared about the future. We're gonna change it all for the better. 9.5 minutes before the hour, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, and congratulations. You know, when I do these caught you doing something right things, we're all kind of trained, I think, perhaps by childhood. You know, a parent with little kids, the first thing, the first word that most little kids say is no, because their parents are, they're trying to protect them. No, don't run out in the street. No, don't put your hand in the stove. No, don't touch that hot iron, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so we tend to catch people doing things wrong. And instead, we need to be catching people doing things right. You know, you helped put together a great show today, Sean. Thank you. And you too, Louise. And it's, you know, like catching you doing things right. So, and I, by, you know, for example, and I want to catch Senator Jack Reed, the Democrat from Rhode Island, doing something right. Here he is, and our, you know, caught you doing something right for the day. Jolly good fellow. And here he is talking to William Haynes. This is he's the former general counsel of the Defense Department. Now, this is the lawyer for the Department of Defense, the guy who said, yeah, it's okay to torture people. We can make this happen.
If anything came up, there were all sorts of conditions. And not to mention, Senator...
Where in this memorandum is the reference to those conditions?
Not to mention, as you know, the training and the quality of the soldiers.
This is Haynes.
I think these questions malign.
I object strenuously to that. You did a service to the soldiers of this nation. You empowered them to violate basic conditions which every soldier respects, the Uniform Code of Justice, the Geneva Convention. Here's what soldiers do. You said the Geneva Convention doesn't apply, and they honestly asked, what does apply? And the only thing you sent them was, these techniques apply. No conditions, nothing. So don't go around with this attitude of you're protecting the integrity of the military. You degraded the integrity of the United States military. And I finished my question.
Well, yeah. Amen. Amen. The Reich put into their place. Steve in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Tom Quigley. Who was that?
That was Jack Reed, the Democrat from Rhode Island.
Okay, very good. Hey, I just want to mention, you know, you get all these conservatives and they're, I guess they're business people that always, you know, want these libertarian ideas. But from a business sense, don't progressive ideas make more business sense?
Yeah, they do. And in fact, when Democrats are elected president, you can go all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century when Democrats or progressives, in the case of Teddy Roosevelt, are elected president, the stock market tends to go up, economic activity goes up, society gets healthier, suicides go down, murder rates go down. When conservatives come into power, and the BBC did a great job of documenting this with conservative administrations over a 100-year period in the UK and Australia, when conservatives come into power, suicides go up, unemployment and homelessness go up, despair goes up, and economic activity goes down. And
right.
We've got a 100-year record in the modern era that we can look at in both the United States, the UK, and Australia.
It seems better to have people employed and you know, supported by various particular government programs, you know, education,
yeah,
safety nets, environment, stuff like that, than it is to have a short-term profit and reduce all those programs.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Steve. Very well said, and thank you for saying it. This is where the commons, this idea, our caller earlier, you know, I talk about the commons a lot. I wrote a book mostly about the commons, We the People. Actually, it's a illustrated book, and it's one of my favorites. This idea that we together can create a nation where we independently can prosper is the foundational idea of the United States, and it has become the European dream, not the American dream. Next week, we're going to be doing our show entirely, the whole week,
from Denmark. Denmark from Copenhagen. Danish radio has given us their studios, and we're doing it from the studios of Danish National Radio, a socialist radio system, I guess you could call it. And talking about why is Denmark the happiest nation in the world? This is the bookend to the show that we did in March, where I did this show live by satellite phone from Darfur, from the border with Darfur in southern Sudan, in a refugee camp 300 miles from the nearest electricity or road, in the middle of what certainly felt and looked and smelled like hell. And so we're bracketing, you know, the worst place in the world, the happiest place in the world. I think it's going to be fascinating. We're going to get into a lot of detail next week of these questions of what is the commons, how does it work, and what do we have to learn from European nations that are actually finding, even though the sky is gray and maybe more people smoke and drink, yet the country is happier and the taxes are over 50%, but people are happier. What's the deal? Jim in Hollywood, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Jim.
I think that's the reason why people are generally happier there is because it's just more ingrained in the culture to actually hang out with each other and enjoy each other. I lived in Germany as a kid. I had the opportunity to do that, so I have a little bit more of a framework for that. When I lived in Seattle, there's a lot of public transportation. You walk everywhere, so you have a lot more interaction with people. Here in Los Angeles, you don't see anybody unless you happen to run into them in a car.
Right, and you make an appointment to meet them at a restaurant.
Exactly. The train system that they just put in here, the news was saying, oh, nobody rides that. I don't know why they put that in. They were saying that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now you can't even find a seat on that thing.
Really?
You cannot find a seat in the morning. It's packed.
Yeah.
Because everybody's paying $5 a gallon for gas here.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Jim, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Andrew in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for the invaluable service you provided the country.
Thank you.
Two points I wanted to make. First is kind of a rhetorical question. Can't somebody, have a class action suit, a lawsuit against the corporate media for false advertising?
No. To the best of my knowledge, it's not the kind of thing that lends itself to a class action lawsuit. What we can have is a class action, though, and that's called elections. We can let our elected officials know that we want them to enforce the Sherman Antitrust Act. It is time to break up some of these huge corporations, not just in the media, but right across the board, so that there can be competition, so that entrepreneurs can get into the marketplace. And by the way, if you want entrepreneurs coming into the marketplace, give them back bankruptcy protection so that people can take a risk once again in America. Coming up next, Everything You Know Is Wrong, A Young Woman's Guide to Why Feminism Matters.
Tom Hartman.
Helping you win the water cooler wars.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
At Napa Auto Parts, we know you want to keep your engine looking just as good as it runs. That's why we've got the world's number one selling engine degreaser for only $1.99 a can. Stop in today for Gunk Engine Bright or Gunk Foamy Engine Bright and remove tough grease and grime from practically any engine. They're just $1.99 each, and you can save even more with a $1 mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Senator John McCain is in Colombia this week, plotting with government leaders to shove a so-called free trade agreement down the throats of the American public. More union leaders have been killed in Colombia since President Uribe took office than the rest of the world combined. The United States shouldn't be dealing with regimes that torture and kill their citizens. John McCain should know that better than anyone. Call Senator McCain today at 202-224-2235 and tell him no trade deals with murderers. Go to Teamster.org to learn more.
Buying a good used car can be a nightmare, but not at Consolidated Auto Sales. At Consolidated Auto Sales, they carefully choose the best cars based on quality, dependability, and price, and then pass the savings on to you. Family-owned and operated, Consolidated's been selling cars for 65 years in the same location since 1942. Call 602-258-6071. Don't just buy a pre-owned car. Buy from a dealership with honesty, integrity, and longevity. Drive by to see the good guys at Consolidated Auto Sales in the heart of Phoenix, right on the price and right on the corner of 16th Street and Van Buren. Or shop online at ConsolidatedAuto.com or call 602-258-6071. That's 602-258-6071.
Valley's Progressive Talk, 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.
AP Radio News. I'm Diane Kepley. Tough fighting in Afghanistan. Now hundreds of Marines have been told they'll have to stay there longer than had been expected.
A day after President Bush promised to send more troops to Afghanistan, the Pentagon says a Marine unit will stay there longer than planned. The 2,200 members of the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit will now come home in November instead of October.
After being held hostage for almost 5 years, three Americans have returned home from Colombia, and President Bush had praise for the operation that freed them.
I congratulated the president. I asked him to congratulate his military and those who had planned it.
The Americans are now in San Antonio, where they're being checked out at a hospital and will be reunited with their families. Some more troubling news today on the economy. Nearly 62,000 jobs were cut by companies last month, even though the unemployment rate remained at 5.5%. Treasury Secretary Paulson says it may take a few months before the economy turns around, but he is expecting things to look better soon.
There's a very strong possibility that we will be growing at the end of the year.
There is a slight uptick today on Wall Street with the Dow up by 73 points, but oil is ending the day at $145 a barrel. The economy is expected to be a big issue in this year's presidential election. While liberals and conservatives have been vocal about how to deal with it, it may be another group of voters that is the key to the election. AP's Tim McGuire explains.
An AP Yahoo News poll has found 39% of voters call themselves Democrats, 29% are Republicans, 32% are independents, and 15% of all voters, party members or not, say they are moderates.
And those moderates are not solidly supporting the candidate of either major political party. A Vermont man faces a possible death sentence after the body of his 12-year-old niece was found buried near his home. This is AP Radio News. Just how safe is the nation's food supply? Well, the Center for Science in the Public Interest says it's not safe enough. It wants the FDA to take further action to